Yes, Film Vault. Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. Vocals messing me up.
Where are you? You seem very far away and distant. I like this.
You like that?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not present.
Seems like you're in the corner of the studio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop, your host.
What up?
For today, top five vacation destinations. Top five fictional, real, combination of both.
What?
Destination.
What?
What? What?
Fictional or real, question mark.
No. Some fictional, some real. Minor combo.
I mean, these are places that don't exist in the real world. Never have.
Okay, some of mine do.
Well, then you'd be like, oh, Hawaii was quite nice and Fantasy Island.
I know what you're saying. I tried to avoid. It's funny, I asked Christy. I'm like, what do you think about this? And she's like, Hawaii and Saving Private Ryan and Friendly Sarah Marshall. I'm like, no, I'm looking for like something a little more specific. So mine are
specific.
What's going
on? Can you get on the mic a little bit more?
It's
distracting. What's going on? Get on there. Don't be afraid of the big black phallic thing.
I'll be honest with you. Only one of mine is actually real. Real.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into it later.
All right. Yes. It'll be all right. It'll be okay. This is a Brian topic, just to let everybody know, just to get it out there.
Oh.
Brian topic.
Can I be honest with you?
Mm.
I'm afraid you're going to have to carry this episode again.
Really?
I'm not feeling so well.
Oh, come on.
I got a bit of a cold. One of the weather. Oh, where's my water? Damn it.
No synapses.
No
synapses firing.
I'm going slow.
Hey, I'm more than
happy. There'll be many bad mistakes.
More than happy to carry this episode per usual. You know, it just kind of comes with the territory.
I think people are shocked I'm even asking.
I should probably get my notes ready then in that case, right? I'd like to begin by talking about Brian, a different Brian, though. Oh. Good Brian. This is Brian Border.
Oh, yeah.
My camp friend. Why does everything sound kind of weird? What's going on? Okay, that's you. All right, I get it. All right, that sounds a little bit better. Okay, good.
You just deafened me.
Yeah, okay. I just have to turn myself up. There we go. Sounds good. My apologies for the mediocrity of the beginning of this episode. But Brian Border, a camp friend who's trying to raise 20 grand for camp, as many of you heard,
ambitious.
And been going on and on about it. I'm not asking for anything this week. I'm just saying congratulations to my buddy, Brian Border.
Did we get there?
Of the 10 people that were nominated as heroes of camp, Brian Border came in number one.
Nice.
I was at the gala dinner up at the Universal Studios, and I was very uncomfortable, but I had to go. He forced me to go. I had to put on a suit and tie, and I wore tennis shoes. It's just kind of like a fuck you to the man. But it was nice. It was a celebration of camp, and he got up there, and we didn't know who won until the very last minute, and it was very nice.
Was there any drama? I mean, he had the Film Vault network behind him.
He, you know what?
Film Vault Army.
He actually introduced me to his mom, who I already knew, but he's like, this is him. This is Anderson, Mom. This is the one I told you that no matter how much you did with you and your friends, you guys could never catch Anderson because of the generosity of the Film Vault.
That's
listeners.
Amazing. He really said that?
Yeah, he absolutely said that, and she looked a little shamed. She looked a lot of shame. So,
sorry, Mrs. Border.
Brian has been drunk with power and booze ever since the big win.
Not me.
And no, Brian Border. And he has not gotten me the names of the most recent people who did give to the cause. So I would like to thank all of you, and I will give those names. I would like to give shout-outs of those names maybe
absolutely.
In an upcoming episode. Perhaps later in this episode. He might get
if
it to me
back
while
to you in time.
He is also sick as well. So that could be part of the problem.
Something going around with Brian's.
But thank you very much, everybody, for being so generous. Not only, you know, a year ago with groupers and then with my camp, but, you know, I care about things a lot or I don't care about them at all. And the things that I really, really care about, I like to spout off about, and camp is one of them, and making movies is another, and you've really responded on both, so I really, 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 truly appreciate not just the Film Vault audience, but the After Disaster audience helped as well.
I can't imagine
I want to say that, you know, discredit them at all, because I was giving shout-outs over there as well. Use the term shout-out twice on this episode.
It's uncomfortable.
Don't like using shout-out. Plan on never using that again. Let's move forward.
You just doubled your shout-out quotient.
Also,
10 seconds.
Corrections and retractions, Brian. I gotta come clean here.
Let's hear it.
This hurts. Oh. This has been bothering me for a while, as you know, because I brought it up last week, and you kind of shrugged it off, said no big deal.
Well,
a couple weeks ago, we did, maybe 3 weeks ago now, we did Throwaway Lines. I really liked that episode. I'd like to do another
episode.
I made a mistake, and I kind of was questioning it at the time by making my number one be Do It for Van Gogh from Blue Velvet.
Frank Booth.
Frank Booth says it. To a very startled and beaten down and bleeding Isabella Rossellini from Blue Velvet, of course. And, you know, it was a little bit self-congratulatory or, you know, self-referential because we say it, because I say it at the end of every episode. I almost felt kind of uncomfortable bringing attention to it. And then when I got back from my trip, I'm still catching up on emails, but I had a number of emails from people saying, how can you call that a throwaway line? It meant this, and it would have revealed that. And I thought that, you know, a few people were upset. after last week's episode, I continued to catch up on my emails. I'm continuing to do so, Brian. I'm very behind. I blame the child. I blame it on my one-year-old.
Preventing you from
catching up on your emails. He's very sick, and he takes up a lot of my time.
He's had a birthday, too.
But, oh, man, the emails continued, Brian. And everyone's right. You guys are all right. What I did as punishment?
What was your penance?
Had a couple pops. Went on old Amazon over there.
Doesn't sound like much of a punishment so far.
And I watched Blue Velvet, which is not one of my favorite David Lynch films. Mm-hmm. I do enjoy Frank Booth's silence quite a bit. I do enjoy the movie to an extent, but it makes me feel dirtier than most movies. However, I watched it up to that point, and what occurred to me is why I don't watch movies for the first time drunk ever. Okay. What happened, and I, it's pretty vague because I was drunk when I saw it years and years ago for like a third or fourth time when I thought, hey, that's a great tagline to end the show with because of how great the actual line in the movie is. And what it does reveal, if you're actually paying attention or if you've seen it three or four times, and because I've said it so many times all these years later, the words don't even mean anything anymore.
It's just the rhythm, the music.
There's no way I should have ever had that as a throwaway line because it is far from a throwaway line. Mm. So I don't have a number one for a few weeks ago. Oh. Not since I fucked up with the, because we want to be free to do what we want to do.
That's right, you misattributed.
And I said that was Easy Rider, which was probably my most embarrassing moment on this show. Mm. This is second. And I apologize to probably the 3% of listeners who actually caught it and realized. Not even the ones that reached out. The ones that are listening, thinking like, I didn't even bother to. Or the people that stopped listening. Okay, it's embarrassing.
Come back.
They're not listening, Brian.
Oh. If you know who that is.
But I understand the significance of Van Gogh. However, the movie still works without it.
I was going to say, it is kind of.
And it is a David Lynch.
I know it has a meaning to the events in the film, but it's not. An important line of dialogue.
I can tell you, when I was drunk a couple nights ago watching the movie again, and I got I was in the exact same headspace as I was like right 7-8 years ago when I decided to bring it to the show, and I was like, oh my God, you idiot. That's why you fucking loved it. Idiot. Mm. Yeah, so I took my pens, and I hope you can forgive me, and let's move forward. My number one place that I would like to visit is Los Angeles from LA Story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's fast forward right to the beginning.
That would be the dumbest
thing. That'd be the worst.
That'd be so stupid. LA Story, fuck yourself. That movie thinks it's so good, and it's not that great. Sarah Jessica Parker is pretty sweet, though.
I feel like LA Story is a movie that could be remade or a sequel.
I feel like it could be
LA has changed a lot in the ensuing 30 years.
Uh-huh.
20 years.
Try 25?
22 years. It was 95, wasn't it? 94?
No, it was like early 90s, late 80s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember that.
I only know that because it was in 1992 that I met a girl named Cowie, and she reminded me of Sarah Jessica Parker from that movie. That's the only way that I can tell you for
sure. Didn't she spell her name weird, like a big, like a capital B and like a lowercase
who?
E? The girl, Sarah Jessica Parker's. Remember she wrote her name on his hand.
I don't remember. Can we do the program?
Hey, as long as we're in a thank you mood, we should get a Patreon update because I think we are doing fairly well. Logan, what is
you know what we're doing more and more, I blame myself is we're not getting to the show. It's taking forever to get to the show.
Well, you're tripping us up right now.
Yeah.
Currently, as we are recording this episode, we are currently at 305 patrons.
Big time.
Nice.
Thank you, guys. Everyone has signed up as a monthly Patreon subscriber. Hope you're enjoying the content, by the way. We did a spoiler discussion last week of Blade Runner. And
I got a lot of nice emails, too, saying, hey, you're not the only one who was a little bit lost and didn't really give a fuck about the story. There,
okay,
so
good.
I appreciate it. Yeah, it's nice with the interaction, too. I'm getting a lot of emails from people who might not have emailed me before, but now they're hearing like the inside vault, the keys to the vault.
That's right.
Like stuff, so it's a more intimate.
A fully fledged discussion, a fully fleshed out.
I was going to say fully frontal.
Fully frontaled, fleshed out discussion. And also, we did the update to the top five most disturbing scenes, movies, top five most disturbing movies. So you can get both of those on our Patreon right now if you'd like. $5 a month gets you all that and more going forward. But thank you guys very much for everyone who signed up. It is very, very
also while drunk a couple nights ago. I just popped out of nowhere.
You signed up for a Patreon.
I signed up for Patreon. I out of nowhere, I'm like, holy shit! How did I not have Henry the Portrait of a Serial Killer on my updated list?
It's very disturbing.
It should have been on there.
It may have been on my original list.
Mm-hmm. Brian did it wrong, as you all hear if you get the Patreon.
No, it's actually perfect.
He did it very wrong. Absolutely perfect. All right, let's get to Flick Fat.
Dive right in.
Sean Flick Fat. Sean. I saw some movies, Brian.
What'd you say?
I got to carry this. I forgot.
How many do you have to flick fast?
Why don't you start off? Because I got to find my notes.
Okie doke. I like this time of year, Anderson, for movies.
Beers.
Beers is wonderful. I got to update my list for fall beers. But more importantly, movies, and not the movies that are in the theaters. This is kind of a crappy time for the fall here. The October season is it's the new January, February. Like now all the good horror movies and like little indies are coming out in January, February, and they're dumping all the crap in October. This is the new dumping ground. Yeah, September, October.
I wouldn't say that, Brian. There's been some very good things the last few weeks in October.
I know, but I'm not saying 100%. I'm just saying we're going to see
September a lot tougher than October.
A lot of crap.
What I'm saying is September's a lot tougher than October.
But I like
September's
this.
The new January.
I like this time of year. I like that. I like this time of year because I get to catch up on movies that have eluded me. I can catch up. I can stretch out. I can say, I really wanted to see this and it got away from me.
This
and
is rationalizing 101, guys.
What am I rationalizing?
Brian, like saying, hey, it took me forever to get to these movies. So this is why, though. This is a good excuse and to actually get back to them. Actually, it's not really rationalizing. Put a positive spin on October.
I was going to say.
Putting a positive spin on October.
We got some crappy movies in theaters right now, and I feel like I wanted to go back and see movies like Author, the J.T. LeRoy story. A documentary from Sundance that I had a lot of interest in.
A movie that was Flick Fest on this program about a year ago.
It was on my my Sundance preview list, whatever year it was, 2016. Directed by Jeff Fierzig. You might know Anderson from?
I'm not listening to you. What?
The director of the author, J.T. LeRoy story.
Oh, yes. He directed The Devil and Daniel Johnson.
Yes, The Devil and Daniel Johnson, one of Anderson's favorites, and a very, very good documentary.
It's a very good music documentary, which is rare, considering that's Brian's favorite genre.
Indeed.
In the history of film.
This is profiling Laura Alpert, an author, a.k.a. Jeremiah Terminator LeRoy, J.T. LeRoy, the HIV-positive son of a truck stop prostitute. Fantastical. Mostly because he didn't exist.
How'd you see this? You saw this at streaming, right?
This is streaming. You yelled at me that it was streaming on Netflix. It's actually on Amazon.
Okay.
If you're an Amazon Prime member, you can stream this for free.
Set fuck flicks, men Amazon.
Right. So the basic story of J.T. LeRoy is J.T. LeRoy is a fictional nom de plume, a character made up by Laura Alpert, and he published a couple of works under his name, and he became kind of a literary sensation, especially in the artist community. He was very big in the New York scene.
You can say hipster.
A hipster community. There you go. Such to the point that at one point,
I would be careful what you reveal because I knew very little about this story, and I love this documentary as a result of it.
That's a good point. So what got me was the trailer originally. Although this is probably one that people haven't seen the trailer for.
Yeah, I don't think that they're really throwing that out at a whole before a whole lot of blockbusters and summer,
you're right.
Summer films.
I'm glad you caught me there because there's stuff that I can discuss freely that was in the trailer, but I also want to I think that it's a movie that not a lot of people even know about.
It's
so
a psychological study.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this person, Laura Alpert, I truly got the impression that she had a mental illness to a smaller degree.
Right.
But like she invents this.
What are you doing?
Well, literally in the opening narration, she's right, like, okay. "I'm J.T. LeRoy."
All right, okay.
And you have to understand that just to understand the film,
right?
Because it's from the very beginning. They had to talk about that. But anyway, she invents this. I won't say the mechanisms of it because that's kind of the interesting reveals. But she has this nom de plume, this pen name that she publishes under, and becomes a literary sensation. Unlike her stuff, like she wrote and she was kind of, I wouldn't say ignored, but it was a very a struggling writer mm-hmm. is the way to put it. And then J.T. LeRoy comes along, this pseudonym, and becomes a sensation.
Right.
Yeah. And God, what can I say? What can
you can say that
this?
There's some phenomenal and really satisfying comeuppance with Hollywood smug fucks who think that they're above it all and they care for things and they're on the cutting edge and they know all.
To that point,
it's so much fun watching them.
You know who comes off as a really good guy? And I was shocked because he was prominently featured at a point in the movie. Bono. Bono actually comes off as a really decent guy. Like he gives J.T. LeRoy the Bono speech. Remember, he takes him aside.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I didn't think that was good.
It showed Bono as kind of like, he's taking this guy under his wing, and he's like, listen, man, here's what's going to happen. Like, people are going to come at you. It's going to be this, it's going to be that. And, he didn't, ask anything in exchange. He just kind of, shared some wisdom. I wasn't expecting Bono to come off quite so well. I was expecting being one of the Hollywood D-bags.
It's really interesting to watch people who have been taken for a ride and how they react to it.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I did, too. I also was surprised that she was surprised that people...
She's the worst, by the way.
She sucked.
Yeah.
She was surprised that people were so... She's like... The book says fiction on it. It's like, you clearly sold.
So does all Charles Bukowski's work. And it's like, I think it's his journal that he just had somebody type
published.
up.
God, I want to say more about this, but should we save some of this for a spoiler episode? Not this week, maybe like somewhere down the road.
I would have to refresh because I haven't seen it since.
Well, I can describe what I've just seen, and we could talk about it because this is a fun documentary.
It really is.
There's a lot going on. It's a lot involving pop culture. It's current day.
And you can watch this if you're a guy and you have a girlfriend or a wife who's like, you know, a little bit, especially with like a movies that I recommend, mm-hmm. and like mm-hmm. you burned her a couple times by having her watch like Bone Tomahawk or something. This is a movie that you can watch with your significant other, girl or guy. Or if you're a girl watching, most guys are like, it's a good movie for couples to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah. It also feels a little dirty. Like it's just the way they're sort of putting it on and all the mechanisms of this ruse. It just felt a little slimy.
Oh, yeah. Because it's Hollywood related.
Yeah.
Here we go.
All right. JT Leroy story.
A few weeks ago, we did something which we rarely do on this show, but it was the studio came to the program and they kind of asked. It was a last minute ad, we did a read for Marshall. That made it into the program.
I out of town?
I'm away out of town. I had to do the read by myself.
Yeah, I was on the Anderson Overboard episode.
Okay, cool. So, there's a couple reads in there for it. And I made the decision when we made the decision to do that, because we rarely do that. Usually we say no to movies, but
I think we've only advertised like one or two.
I was kind of sold on this, like Marshall's not going to be a very big movie. It needs a little bit of help. Right. And, you know, you got a pretty big movie audience.
Chadwick Boseman, right?
Yeah. So I said, I will do it as long as I don't have to say it's good or bad because I have not seen it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, we can get you a link. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that because then I might waste my time for 2 hours and watch it. And then I have to say no, thank you, because I'm not going to. So I said to myself in my head, I said, I will watch this when it comes out, which I did. And now here we go.
Okay.
I would have probably seen it anyways. Probably. Marshall's the name of the film?
About Thurgood Marshall.
It's about Thurgood Marshall.
Not the football team.
And it's directed by Reginald Hudlin, who directed a movie called House Party, Brian, which you probably liked back in the day.
Like, oh, literally the 1990 House Party?
Yep, he did
With
that.
Kid and Play? I loved House Party.
He also did Boomerang right after that.
Okay,
With Eddie Murphy. And then he's done lots and lots of TV.
Okay.
Lots and lots of TV. This stars Chadwick Boseman, who Brian already mentioned, who plays T'Challa. Or Black Panther in the Avenger movies.
I'm like, no, that's nice. Thurgood Marshall.
He plays Jackie Robinson in 42. He's also James Brown in Get On Up. Mm-hmm. And he plays Thurgood Marshall
in this
one. He plays
a lot of black people.
He does. And he plays Thurgood Marshall in this one. And Josh Gad is his right-hand man. It's a two-hander, essentially.
Okay.
And based on real events that actually happened, like the kind of the advent of the NAACP. They're still calling it the NAAACP, which is a mouthful. NAA, it's hard to say AA, right? So yep. NAACP has a much nicer ring to it. And right off the bat, I realized that the movie's annoying me because, like, it's all a period piece, and you know, I think it opens up in Chicago or some big metropolis, right? It says where Detroit. It says where it is. Mm. No date. It's like, come on, give me a date. So I'm guessing what date it is. I mean, I'm filming it out. I believe it's like the early 40s, maybe late 30s, by the look of the cars and the talk of the war and the ensuing war and whatnot. But long story short. A man, a black fella, is accused of raping Katie Hudson. She wasn't Katie Hudson in the movie. She the actress played a character.
That makes more sense.
Yes. He was her chauffeur, and he's accused of raping her. And Thurgood Marshall hops on a plane, and he is there.
He's a lawyer, right?
Yeah, he's a lawyer, and he's going to defend this man because that's what the NAACP does, and what they're formed for was to keep... to defend, and I might be speaking out of line. This is what I got from the movie. I'm not well-versed in the NAACP. You might find that shocking.
The NAACP?
NAACP is what the hipsters call it. I call it what it's called now, NAACP.
What does the C stand for?
The National Advancement of American Colored People.
Colored People.
Yeah. They should update that.
They're really strange. Really bizarre anachronism that they're still calling it colored.
So,
and the United Negro College Fund.
He gets there, it's in Connecticut, right? And he doesn't have his law. He doesn't have his his license in Connecticut. So he. Long story short, first things first, make sure the guy's innocent. He, you know, look me in the eye. Gives him one of these tests, right? Which I'm thinking, I could still be lying.
I was gonna say. Not scientific.
Yeah. And then Josh Gad gets involved. He's really good at finding loopholes for insurance companies. He's like really good in that part of the country. He gets involved. He doesn't want to be involved, but he kind of gets tied up in it. And what's the name of
Cromwell?
James Cromwell. Thank you. James Cromwell's the old hard-nosed, probably very racist judge who is going to be presiding over these proceedings. And one of the first things he does in the first day of the trial is he pretty much says, Thurgood Marshall, you're allowed to be here, but you can't speak. You're not allowed to speak at all in the courtroom, and if you do, you will be held in contempt. So, you know, he puts the white hammer down already. And the rest of the movie is a typical courtroom drama filled with lots of wood backdrops and wood desks and wood pulpits. And
I've only been in one courtroom, not a lot of wood.
Always wood.
Really?
Lots of wood.
I was in traffic court, and it was no wood.
I've been in plenty of courtrooms, and they're always covered in wood, okay. And they're always lit
I thought that was like a movie trope.
Lit with horrible, horrible fluorescent
that
lights.
That is true. That is true.
Fucking hate courtrooms more than anything. Like, you could say $5 million a year starting tomorrow. You just got to, like, you know, 9 to 5 be at court. I'd think about it. Mm. Might say yes. The wife might make me, but I...
But you wouldn't jump at it.
10 years ago, I'd say, fuck you. There's no fucking way I could go to a court every single day. Anyways, apologies to all the lawyers out there.
They're making money.
By the end, I feel like I learned some, and it was enjoyable, and it kept my interest for sure. But for the most part, it was pretty, you know, soft, PG-13.
Saw the trailer, felt MOR, middle of the road.
Middle of the road, not a whole lot of art going on there. And, you know, it probably could have been on TV just as easily. I know that's not doing it any favors. What's interesting is HBO movie. Of the three movies that I saw this week for this here program, looked them up on IMDb, as I always do, you know, get the credits and whatnot. This one only has 614 ratings thus far.
Probably all Film Vault fans.
614 ratings, Brian. And it's a wide release movie.
Yes, it is. So, like I said,
the other two movies I'm going to bring to you, very small release, much smaller, one minuscule. They each are in the teens, thousands, teens. I don't understand. I don't understand why people aren't rating Marshall.
I wonder if there's sort of a self-selecting sample. People want to rate things they feel passionate about, I think, either good or bad. Like, that was crap, I'm going to rate it. Or that was great, I'm going to rate it so people can see. And I wonder if it falls in sort of that middle, like, meh.
As far as performances, Josh Gad's always good. And Chadwick...
Boseman.
He came off as very arrogant, and I did not like his character at first. And then you kind of ease into it, and then you do appreciate him. I don't buy it. What he was doing was telling, like, white people what to do and acting like above them, which I think he might have grown into that character as time went by. But if this movie did take place in the 30s and or 40s, which I presume it did, I don't think he would get away with acting that way and talking that way in public to white people. I just don't think that that's the reality of things. But I liked seeing it because I don't
think
he
was acting uppity.
You just said that, and that's fucking wrong that you would say that.
You know what's really funny? I didn't realize uppity had any racial connotation to it until literally, like, two years ago.
When it came up on the show, and we got a lot of heat for it.
But was that 2 years ago? Because it may have been.
About a year and a half, 2 years?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I just heard that word growing up, and I just assumed it meant someone who thought they were above
everyone.
Well,
you grew up in a very racist surrounding.
I sure did.
I'm sure you
did. The racist Bay Area.
Well, yeah, it's nothing but white people up there. That's
exactly right.
Yeah.
Not back then.
Go ahead.
It was Silicon Valley back then.
So Marshall, it's, you know what, if it shows up on HBO, and once again, if you want to curl up in bed and watch a little movie on Saturday night, you could do much worse. You'll learn some stuff. It'll definitely keep you interested. Mm. This is a solid 3-star movie, Brian.
All this should go on the poster. It'll keep you interested.
Yeah.
I was assigned a film.
You were.
Do you remember what you sent me?
I do.
The Host.
The Host.
2006, The Host, directed by Bong Joon-ho, director of Okja and Snowpiercer.
And Mother.
And, wait, what?
He directed a film called Mother.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Darren Aronofsky film.
Yeah, as you should.
Threw me off. 93% of Rotten Tomatoes. This swept the 2006 Korean Film Awards. It won Best Film, Best Director, Best Cinematography, Best Visual Effects. I think the... effects are about special effects. They are about on par with Okja, which was shockingly bad. Despite being 11 years earlier, which you can maybe point to the limitations of the era. I think this probably was decent special effects for 2007. Six.
This is one of my top five creatures, Brian, when we did top five creatures.
The Host.
I love this creature. He's tight. Why don't you talk about The Host?
I liked the creature was pretty sweet. The creature was a mutated amphibious sea creature.
Like a lungfish.
Not a kind film to the United States. Not a sympathetic film. The villains, if there is a villain, are definitely Americans.
Yes.
And the Americans have poisoned the river by dumping a bunch of formaldehyde down, which apparently, makes just sense. From research, was based on a real event. Apparently, that actually happened. Uh-huh. I don't know if it produced a monster like The Host.
Well, that's where Godzilla came from. That's was where the A-bomb, right?
First of all, it's Japan. This is Korea. You're fucking racist.
Same part of the world, buddy.
That's true. So the Host is a giant amphibious sea creature.
Like a lungfish.
Sort of a fishy version of Cloverfield, I guess you might say. A little smaller, but regardless, created by some toxic chemicals being dumped into the river. A very poor choice of title, because the actual Korean title translates just to monster. Uh-huh. And I understand the limitations. You can't name your film Monster.
Well, there was one just there last year.
There was?
Last year there was a movie called Monster. It was pretty good.
Was it?
Yeah, there's a daughter and a mom, and they find a monster on the street, and they're stuck in their car, and it's raining the entire time.
That's why you can't end the movie. But
there's also monsters.
I kept waiting for. There's also the Charlize Theron movie.
Scoot.
I was also the entire time waiting for something to be a host. Like, this monster is not a host. Nothing grows inside of it. It is not actually a host. The title is a non sequitur. Mm-hmm. That said,
it was hosting the movie.
Now presenting me killing a bunch of people.
You know what he looked like? If you've seen the Lonely Island video, Like a Boss, the fish that Andy Samberg fucks or gets fucked by looks a little bit like the Host.
Okay. I can take your word for that because I haven't seen
it. You haven't seen that.
The face looks like a cross between the Predator's face and the Rancor from Return of the Jedi.
It's a sweet creature. It really is.
It's a pretty, I can see this terrifying young Korean children.
Right.
This would be.
Well, Americans as well.
Yeah, but I got to imagine that more Koreans have seen this film than Americans. This is a huge Korean film. Mm. Like, huge film.
Rightfully so.
It swept their Oscars, essentially. I liked it better than Okja. I'm glad you signed it to me. I still like Snowpiercer a lot better, but
I like both of these more than Snowpiercer.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Snowpiercer
was the more accomplished film.
Snowpiercer, I think I liked the setup so much. I was expecting more. By the time they got to that front train,
that third act,
it was a huge letdown.
It did fall off.
And when you have a great construct like Snowpiercer and it doesn't deliver, it kind of it makes it. You know, if it was a shitty construct, I think I would have liked the movie more.
Mm. Well, like what it squeezed out of, like, that rock.
Yeah, right.
As opposed to a big, juicy melon that only gets
this is great. Like, and you learn it early on. You're like, this is fucking rad. Mm. I can't wait for this movie to progress.
Then
and as it progresses,
then they get that little school car, which is fantastic. There's still some great stuff in that movie. I like Snowpiercer a lot.
I saw a film. Everyone can see this. It's streaming right now on Fuckflix.
Oh, I should mention The Host is streaming on Amazon or on Netflix.
This was a Fuckflix original. Mm-hmm. It premiered at Cannes. There was a big to-do, too, a controversy with the mayor with stories, new and selected, and Okja at Cannes earlier this year, or late last year. Earlier this year. Okja, and both of them, because the French have this crazy, loony, like, I actually agree with it, and I wish that it still happened, but it's not the world we live in. For certain movies to be in certain categories, they have to have French theatrical release, and then there has to be a 36-month limbo period before they are available streaming. And Okja and the Meyerowitz stories, New and Selected, Noah Baumbach's film, which I'm about to speak about, they're Netflix originals, and they showed up on Netflix the day that they were released. Like, Meyerowitz stories, you can see that right now in a few selected theaters around town. Okay, I think it's limited release, L.A., New York, maybe Chicago, or you can watch it at home. Which
most people should do.
I went and saw it in theater.
Well, considering if you're not, you're lucky enough to be in Los Angeles, where it's being released.
So this is a movie that's been on, I think it was on my list, at least also, it was on my top 10 list.
I do remember this title coming up.
Noah Baumbach, very excited about anything that he does. Of course, he did The Squid and the Whale, one of my probably top 30, 40, 50 films in the last 10 years.
Which is it?
I'm going to say 25.
Wow.
I'm going to say top 25. Wow. The last 10 years.
Okay.
I'm going to say top 25. That'd be a good list.
It would be.
It'd be a long list.
Long-ass list.
Top 25 of the last year? Last 10 years, I mean? Right. Man, that story. This is starring...
sounds like a Patreon list.
Sounds like a long list.
Quiet.
This is starring one Adam Sandler, Grace Van Patten, who I have not seen. Many people have not seen. They will see a lot of her if they see this movie. Dustin Hoffman. Emma Thompson's also in this. Who else is in this? Come on. Sigourney Weaver has a little cameo as herself, Brian. Ben Stiller.
Feels like a reveal.
Adam Driver. Doesn't really matter. And Candace Bergen also has a little cameo. Well, cameo, Brian. Doesn't matter, though. It's not like a reveal. Okay. It's not like, oh, my God, if I didn't know that she was going to be in this, I would have liked this much more. There she is. Holy shit.
Usually cameos are surprises.
She's like, hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. And he says, hello, I'm Harold Merowitz. I swear to God. That's exactly how it goes. And you hear that talked about numerous times. You hear that exchange talked about 2-3 times throughout the movie. First act is Danny's story, which is Adam Sandler's story. He is the one brother. There's three siblings of the Merowitzes. All right, I'm not going to get into the whole family tree because that's really fucked up and hard to track even when you're watching the movie. But who's at the top? Is Harold Merowitz, who is played by Dustin Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman is by far and away the best thing about this movie. Mm-hmm. I loved his performance in it. If you liked being Flynn. And you like what Robert De Niro did in that. It's a twinge of that, except he's much more... there's also a twinge of Jeff Daniels' character mm-hmm. and the Squid and the Whale, as you'd imagine. This is very Noah Baumbach.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're describing.
And it opens up, you get everyone's different story. He's got three kids. Two are from one mom, another one's from another mom. Danny's the oldest. He is Adam Sandler. He's doing a version of himself, I believe. He's not doing one of his characters. He's doing a version of himself.
This is a comedy, but it's sort of a more serious role for Sandler.
For Sandler, yeah. People are losing their shit about Sandler. Sandler, he's like, okay. He's all right. I like Ben Stiller more in this, and I liked Dustin Hoffman. Sandler was great. He did what he was supposed to do, but... I think, you know, because Sandler is known for, like, doing the voices and doing the just ridiculously bad movies, they see him acting normal. They're like, oh, my God, he's fucking phenomenal. No, he's just doing a version of himself. Really, really enjoyable. The first act with Danny, with Adam Sandler and his daughter, who's of age. She's 18 years old. She's about to go to art school and study film. Had a hard time tracking it, had a hard time keeping up with it, thinking, like, you know, I was just kind of disappointed that I'd driven all that way. I could be watching this shit in my house. And by the time they got to the second story, I was in, and I was really, really enjoying myself. Third act, it starts to fall apart. There's some odd, awkward, like, fade to blacks, and it just doesn't really work for me. And I hate saying doesn't work for me, but it didn't work for me. It kind of fell
didn't
apart.
Land.
But the there's a lot of father-son stuff in here that got me a little bit choked up here and there. A lot of it is about shitty fatherhood. Mm. Dustin Hoffman's character, Harold, he's an artist and he's completely self-involved and he's fucked up all of his kids, but he doesn't even realize because he never looks up for himself. Some really sharp, on the nose, I can only imagine, like, personal stories from Noah Baumbach. If The Squid and the Whale didn't exist, if While We're Young or Greenberg or some of his other movies didn't exist, this would be like a revelation. But because it's in the Noah Baumbach universe, a lot of it's more the same, but that's great if you like Noah Baumbach. If you like his work and or if you like Adam Sandler, Ben Stiller was fantastic. They play brothers. Really sings in the middle. I loved it.
I got to imagine if you like Noah Baumbach's work, then this is on your radar. Is this a movie that, because it's streaming, so people who have Netflix accounts can stream it for free. Is this a movie that people can, is it accessible to non-fans or people who are not familiar with his work?
I think that if you've never seen his work and you would like
it. Maybe one of his films, you know, or just not a fan.
Like if you saw The Squid and the Whale and it wasn't for you, don't waste your time with this. Because this is like more... Yeah. But it's more condensed. Like it's just nonstop. Like the pitter patter, the back and forth. It's hard to keep up with. Like I didn't hear some of the dialogue. Like I'd probably get more of this on a second viewing. I'm never gonna watch it again. But I probably would get, just because there's too much out there, Brian. I'm flirting with the idea of once we're done here, leaving the studio and going to watch 2049 again. I'm flirting with the idea of being selfish and doing that. Like I said a few weeks ago, it feels rude to see a movie a second time when I could be seeing something else to talk about on the show.
Unless it's a movie that's worth seeing a second time.
I kind of look forward to a day of not doing the show where I can just go back to selfish movie viewing, where I can just like watch movies
that you know you're going to like and that you know you do like.
Yeah. I miss that.
God, it sucks doing things for other people.
As far as I can tell, the title... The Merowitz stories, it's their family stories. New and Selected is a reference to like art, I guess, and poems. And the movie really starts to sing. If you've seen this already, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't seen it, wait until at least get to the part. Don't give up on it until at least you see his daughter's first student film that she
Merowitz.
I believe. She sends Adam Sandler's character, Danny, her first student film when she gets off to college, and he watches it with a couple other family members. And it is bizarre, inappropriate, hilarious, and just out of the fucking blue. And like the movie kind of just, it comes to life in that moment for me. And she's topless throughout, which was, you weren't expecting either, because she looks very young. All right, what else you got?
That's I have my two films, Author and The Host.
Fucker.
Sorry, buddy.
I got another movie.
Yeah, dive in.
I got another movie.
What are you going to talk about? Look at you.
S. Craig Zoller has got a new film out, Brian.
You're telling me.
Playing in very limited release. Because of my buddy Eric Holmes, though, who set me up with an Amazon gift card so that I could watch this in the comfort of my own home. Mm-hmm. I did. Took him up on that. Spent $7, Brian, on Brawl in Cell Block 99. Brawl in Cell Block 99. Now, why do I tell you S. Craig Zoller wrote and directed this? Well, because he made a little movie called Bone Tomahawk.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, thank God. It's right, Brian. Brawl in Cell Block 99 is the follow-up to his first film, which was Bone Tomahawk, which was, speaking of revelations, like that movie was just, this guy makes phenomenal B-movies. That's what he's doing right here. Bone Tomahawk is a B-movie, right? It's just slasher. It's over the top. It's exploitation at times. It's funny throughout. This is what he's doing it again. 93%
Rotten Tomatoes.
He does it again here, but this is a prison setting, Brian. Prison setting. With who at the top? Who in the middle? Vince Vaughn? Vince Vaughn playing essentially a hulking monster of a man.
Wow.
And he is a big, tall guy.
He's a big, substantial fella.
And they really sell him
as a tall drink of water.
A guy that could kill anybody, essentially. So the movie takes an hour and 10 minutes before there's any kind of like real like, oh, shit, what's going to happen now? An hour and 10 minutes. But you're, for me anyways, I was engaged.
It's 132 minutes.
I was incredibly engaged. Right. Takes an hour and 10 minutes before he even gets sent upstate. He starts off, he's a tow truck driver, right? And things don't go too well for him. This is the opening scene. He gets fired. He goes home. He finds out his girlfriend's cheating on him. Girlfriend is actually played by the actress who played Dexter's sister, Brian.
Jennifer Carpenter.
Thank you. She's very good. And his life's all falling apart, right? And he beats the shit out of her car. Very funny. Very funny scene. But it's not played for laughs, but it's funny.
Right.
Like little things, little moments. Like, okay, so he tells her to go inside. He finds out that she's been cheating on him. And she's sitting in her car in the driveway in front of their house. He gets home early. What are you doing home early? And it wasn't one of those tropes where he walks in on her, like, bangs him. Right. Like, she's on her phone, and he sees, like, a hickey in her neck. And he goes, how long has it been going on? And he says, let me see your phone. He takes her phone, and then he sees it, and he goes, go inside. Go inside the house. So she's, like, crying. He's like, I'm sorry. Go inside the house. And then he just takes it out on the car, right? And he smashes the windshield the window with his hand, bare hand. And then he takes off the side view mirror, Brian, and he hurls it in the street. And the little sound effect made it really fucking funny. And it was just a little twinge, just a little twinge.
Didn't have to be there.
Then he takes off the hood of the car, flings that in the middle of the street.
The monster.
Just smashing, right? And it's all like in real time, too. It's not like, you know, over the top fucking Rambo style. Like, this is happening. Like, I can see a man actually doing this. Goes inside, reconciles, says,
I'm sorry we quarreled.
He reconciles with him. He does. And he's got bloody hands. And essentially, he says, you know, I'll start running drugs again. So then when he does that for like the next, I don't know, act for a while. And then things go south and he ends up in jail. And the setup, Brian, the stakes that are created in this movie are so disgusting, and they involve partial abortion of his unborn child by a Korean doctor.
The host.
Not the host, Brian. And it's... I don't think you would like this movie.
Okay.
The action sequences, and there's a lot of ass kicking going on, but it's instead of like the camera moving all over the place, it just kind of stays there, and you kind of watch him do his choreographed stuff, but it's not like a long song and dance. Like, if he's going to fight somebody, it'll happen within about 10, 15 seconds. Usually it'll end with something really horrific, such as man's face down on the ground. He will stomp man back of man's head, and then he will drag man's head face on concrete, right? And then lift it up, and you see like just like skeleton and skull, right? That happens to a person. Somebody else gets their face bashed in with a foot, but it's like almost like porcelain, like you see like the jawbone like come out. It's gross, but it's not. It's fake enough that it's like almost funny, but it like once again not played for laughs.
Like when in Bone Tomahawk they cut a man in half.
That one was more off. Well, I guess you could see quite a bit of that. What's weird about Brawl?
What do you mean off anything?
You could hear. I remember the sound was most most upsetting about that one.
Udo Kier's in this movie?
Don Johnson.
Hold on. Udo Kier's alive? Udo Kier.
Who's Udo?
The guy with the glassy eyes. Udo is
Oh yeah, yeah, Udo. Yeah, he plays
the foreign guy.
He plays a very, very evil right hand man.
As he often does.
He's the one who's in charge of the abortion essentially in the
Udo
Korean
Kier
doctor.
Alive?
This is a very fun B movie. Now, if you like Bone Tomahawk, if you like some extreme like over the top ridiculous, this is like it's not like Hobo with a Shotgun, even though I've never seen that, but I can imagine what that is. I shouldn't even be citing that because I've not seen it.
Right.
But this is like gritty. It's hard.
Film ball. Films you haven't seen.
You shouldn't be watching this like with, if you have a delicate flower, such as I do in my life, I would never dream of having Jillian watch this with me. This is not that kind of movie. Okay. However, and she loves Vince Vaughn, but I would never subject her to this. And I knew that in.
Probably why you wouldn't subject her to it. I don't even love Vince Vaughn. It's a whole lot of fun.
I mean, just look at that. The poster is the back of his head with a giant cross on it. He's a God-fearing man. And the juxtaposition of the music that he listens to when he's in his car, and it's all like, Christian rock. And it's funny, but it's never played for laughs, even though it does evoke laughter. I really, really enjoy this. What's weird about Cell Block, Brawl and Cell Block 99 is it feels like a first film. Mm. And it's much smaller than Bone Tomahawk. Bone Tomahawk has more bigger ideas and more effects and a wider scope. It's weird. It's very weird how these are like transverse almost. Mm. I would totally I would bet a lot of money if I saw both these movies. Which one did he do
first? Yeah.
I would guess wrong. His next movie. Oh, everyone start getting excited if you like these kinds of movies. His next one. Just the when I read this, the title of this, I laughed. And Jillian, she's like, she saw me on the phone. She's like, what? I'm like, hey, you won't understand why this is funny. But his next movie is called Dragged Across Concrete.
I wonder what happens in that film.
Oh, I cannot wait for Dragged Across Concrete, Brian. Jennifer Carpenter is also in it, as well as Vince Vaughn.
Oh, boy.
Guess who else is in it?
Udo Kier.
Don Johnson. Guess who's starring?
Maybe it's a sequel.
I was going to say.
No, it's not. Guess because he plays a cop. Vince Vaughn plays a cop.
Maybe he's rehabilitated.
Guess who plays the main cop? Guess who's the lead? Mel Gibson. Oh my God! Dragged Across Concrete. It's gonna be fucking tight. Dragged Across Concrete. So S. Craig Zahler, he's a national treasure.
What's the release date for that?
2018.
The
script centers on two policemen: one an old timer, the other his volatile younger partner Vaughn, who find themselves suspended with video of one of their strong arm tactics become the media cause du jour. So I can only imagine that they're doing some very naughty cop things and they go on the run.
Michael High White's in this.
This is
High White.
He's like a less heady Abel Ferrara.
Jay,
this director, who I'm very excited about any future work that he does. So yeah, Dragged Across Concrete. And do enjoy a brawl on Brawl and Cell Block 99. Mm. However, $7-8. I know a lot of you have already seen it because I've gotten a ton of emails from you guys saying, why have you not talked about this yet? And I'm sorry, it was just off my radar. I should have realized that creator of Bone Tomahawk had this one out. It's also playing in a few selected theaters too. This one, Brawl.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that where you saw it?
No, I saw it at home because it's one of these VOD.
You gotta pay essentially a theater price.
Right.
Effectively.
Well, I mean, I have MoviePass. It would have been cheaper but my buddy Eric Holmes, he sent me over a Amazon gift card code so that I could watch it.
It's only $7 if you want to rent it.
There you go.
It's a fun one. Like, if you're younger and you like some good movie, you don't have to be younger. You got a couple friends over. I never advise having a few beers, but this one's it's a fun movie. It's enjoyable. Cool. I watched it with my son on a day before he turned one.
Inappropriate.
He has no idea what's going on, I hope.
Coming up next, top five vacation destinations. Next. Anderson, people are clicking through to get their Halloween costumes, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Someone got a 40-inch superhero cape. It's a Superman cape. It's funny how they always have to, like, if they don't have the actual, like, licensing, they just have to say something generic, like, superhero cape, red. Like, yeah, it's a Superman
The only
cape.
Other thing that I can think of that's like that is Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the big game.
Are we allowed to even say Super Bowl?
Yes, because we're not selling anything.
Uh-huh.
But if we were, get your Super Bowl raffle
tickets. Should call it the big cape.
The big, well done. Someone also got a.
Wasn't that well done?
I don't know what this is. Rusty Rivets? Is Logan, do you have any idea what that is? That's a kid's. It's a kid's costume. It looks like a minion, but I don't know if that's a minion character. I don't know if that is something else. I assume that you and I will be in this world eventually, having to buy Rusty Rivets.
I'm not going to let him like stupid stuff.
I don't think you have much of a choice.
I don't know. I've never seen the minions. I've never seen the minions.
You're about to.
I react to that because at that gala that I was at for the camp the other night, they had some MC who was just he was going on and on about the minions, and he's wearing minion glasses. He's like, I get it. We're at Universal, and that's their property, but like no one cares. He's like, I was backstage, and the minions were all over me, and like he wasn't getting any laughs. It's like, stop it with the minions.
Here's the thing about letting your kid like stupid things. You don't want to have that hipster kid who like – by the age of like 8 or 9 is like only like into like cool things. Like, no, you want a kid, you're like kid stuff.
Yeah.
So they can evolve out of that. You know, maybe get a hold of him as a teenager, you know. Anyway. Other things purchased on the Amazon.
There's no winning.
Banner.
There's no winning.
You're trapped. Hey, Rusty Rivets, man, lean in. Other things purchased include someone got a textbook, Multivariable Calculus. 7th edition. Sounds horrible, but good luck with your multivariable calculus. A waterproof silicone bib with food catcher. Does Atticus use this? The silicone bib with the little like.
No, he doesn't do. Yeah, he has one of those, but he has never been able to keep a bib on. He just
really?
He rips it off.
Tessa's putting hers on now. Like she.
It must be nice.
No, what I'm saying is like
my boy just rips it off.
She's not dexterous enough to like actually snap.
But at least she wants
it
to be
she,
on
like,
her.
She literally grab it and like put it over her head.
Do you understand what I'm saying though? Like I'll put it on him and
he's discarding
immediately.
It immediately. Yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
You must get food everywhere.
I'm gonna start trying his hands.
It's a good day for the dogs.
You know what? If I was Vince Vaughn in Cell Block 99, and I failed my mission, and Atticus was born, he wouldn't be able to remove that bib. I can tell you that much.
A lacy 4 terabytes.
Do you understand what I'm saying,
I understand.
Terrible the Korean
drives.
Doctor was capable of doing things. Aborting parts, Brian. That's the whole baby.
Someone got a 2-piece saline cartridge set for emergency eyewash station. Apple 16-gig memory upgrade for MacBook Pro. A certified refurbished Kindle Voyage e-reader. A professional indoor bike. Oh, yeah, a parabolic roller trainer. It's one of those like exercise bikes. TomTom Spark cardio and music GPS fitness watch and heart rate monitor. Zinus? Logan, you're a tech guy.
Zinus?
I'm going to say Zinus. Zinus 9-inch high-profile metal smart box. Oh, never mind. It's not tech at all. It's a box spring mattress foundation. Anova culinary Bluetooth sous vide precision cooker.
That's
what sous vide is. A telescopic extension ladder was purchased.
I got one.
330
I like
pounds.
That.
Oh, yeah, me too. It's incredibly helpful.
How many pounds?
330.
That's a lot of pounds.
Well, actually, not that much. I can see a lot of fat guys.
Wait, it holds that. It's not
you know,
doesn't weigh
exactly,
that much.
It probably
okay.
weighs about 30 pounds.
Mine's very heavy. Yeah. I need to get rid of it. It's too heavy.
Invicta Men's Pro Diver Analog Japanese Automatic Stainless Steel Watch. A KES 4-piece bathroom accessory set with towel bar, toilet paper holder, all that good stuff. 2 pairs of men's Levi's 501 original fit jeans, as well as someone got a 2nd generation Amazon Echo Dot in black. Thank you guys for looking through. And now how about the movies?
Here are the films that were clicked through since the last time we saw you. 4 people clicked through and got Spider-Man Homecoming. Smart, do yourself a favor, get Cop Car as well. Oh, Cop Car.
What a strange combo.
Well, they're both directed by the same guy.
Oh, yeah. Like, why would you recommend that to people who see
John Watts, baby. Polar Express was clicked through, as well as The Nice Guys, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Night of the Living Dead, 50th Anniversary Edition. Holy shit, it's been 50 years. Gremlins 2, The New Batch, OJ Made in America.
Ooh, it's a long, it's a big commitment.
That's 7.5, 8 hours.
745. Yeah.
Very, very good. Worth it, though. Worth it.
Truly. Won the Oscar.
The Big Sick was clicked through. One of the better movies of the year thus far, as well as Wonder Woman, one of the most overrated movies of the year thus far. Almost went and saw the documentary, though, about the creation of Wonder Woman.
Why do you hate women?
It has nothing to do with that.
Why do you hate
women? I hate men who make movies about women.
Because they're boring?
And it's just them saying, women are better than men. It's like, yeah, I get that. I understand that. Just tell me something more.
We all know this.
But that was the entire theme of that movie. Women are better than men because they don't like to fight. Yeah, we're going to make a movie all about fighting.
She does fight.
But she doesn't like to do it, Brian. Yeah. Oh, and then when we find out who the evil fuck is, just fuck that movie. Come on. So many better movies. Thank you for clicking through with Wonder Woman. Maybe they got the original one.
You know what? Actually, they may have. And also, I think it was Amazon Instant Video. So they didn't put a big commitment, probably a couple bucks.
Well, don't say that.
No, what I'm saying is, if
we need to say anything about the link, everyone knows the link now. We got the permanent link.
Yeah, the banner's up on AndersonandBryan.com. What I'm saying is, if they felt the same way you did, strongly about Wonder Woman, no, they're not saddled with the DVD.
It's disposable.
The rental. Yeah, disposable. Rental.
You like how your disposable income now goes to disposable stuff? Like literally disposable?
Diapers, food.
Ooh. Like links that just expire?
Wow.
Okay. Deep. Back to the program.
Heavy. Hey, Tyler Perry here. You're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com. Yeah, welcome back. So actually, Anderson, I misspoke at the top of the show. Only one of mine is like a real place, but it's not a place that you and I can visit, if that makes sense.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to get there, and I'll hear all about it in a moment. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I feel so. Before we get into it,
I'm going to pay off what I talked about in the beginning of the program. I know it's mediocrity, and I know that it's not professional to do this, but I need to do it. I'm compulsed, Brian. I got a little OCD over there, and if I don't get this done, if I don't thank these people, I'm going to feel bad.
Oh, you got the names.
Plus, there's a bit of a punchline, so it's worth it. All right, Brian Border got me the name, so I want to give people their due respect here, right in the middle of the episode. Kathy Geiselbrecht.
I know Kathy.
Adam Steinbacher, Drew Jansen, David Graff, Claude and Roberta Cordes, they give a lot of money.
Nice. Thanks, you guys.
$2,000.
Wow.
Brian Border raised $34,000.
That's incredible.
$5,000 of which he attributes to this and or the after disaster.
That's fantastic.
Look at that.
No, we must have done more than that.
What? $5,000?
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Either way, that's incredible. $34,000. Well done.
He did $34,000 total. Also, Brian Border was given access to optional comments made by donors.
Oh.
Here's what Bald Brian commented.
What did I say?
Anderson is the worst.
Get that drop.
That's nice, bro.
Get that drop.
That's nice. Stop saying get that drop, because no drops are ever gotten.
No drops have ever been gotten.
So thank you, Brian Border, for giving me those names. Thank you
Anderson
to all of you.
Is the worst.
Thank you to all of you, dozens and dozens of people who gave. I really appreciate it. Sorry,
awesome.
My apologies if Brian Border fucked up and did not give me your name, but thank you very much for helping a place. It's very near and dear to my heart. I will not talk about kids with cancer again until next summer.
I also have to imagine that people didn't give to hear their names spoke. They give because it's a good cause and they want to support things you're into.
I would bet a couple did, and they like to hear their names. Yeah,
indeed. Thank you, guys. No matter what your motivation, we got a lot of money raised for sick kids and their siblings, so that's fantastic.
Anderson is the worst.
And Anderson is the worst.
All right, let's do this.
We hit that drop.
Oh, we'll just stop it with the drop.
Top five vacation destinations. These are places in films that would make a fantastic vacation for us. So mine, I know I have a tendency, Anderson, to get a little clever sometimes.
You try to, Brian.
I try to.
Yes.
And as I was going through my list, a lot of semi-obvious ones came up, ones that I expect to see on the listener list. And then a couple, I was on the list, and I was like, oh, that'd be awesome. There's no way to go there. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and go there. So mine are all places throughout history. I'm going oldest to newest. Oldest to newest. Past to future.
All right, Brad.
Past to future.
Okay. I might get on board with this.
Number five. You're going to get on board because I'm going to start at number five. You're going to have to help me here.
We should say this is inspired.
You have to carry this episode.
This was inspired by our recent admiration for Blade Runner 2049.
Yes, and Future Vegas.
And how much we enjoyed.
The vintage casino.
I liked L.A. more than Vegas necessarily. Vegas just looked like modern day. The interiors looked like regular Vegas with sand.
Sure. The Vegas looked horrible and desolate. What I'm saying is I would like to have gone to the vintage casino in 2029, when it was actually up and running. That'd be sweet.
Be crowded.
As it stands.
You just go to like downtown Vegas?
Yeah, you kind of.
But they have the holograms and like some.
If you stay inside, though, it looks like old Vegas.
It's a good point.
Holograms are all like.
I've never been to downtown Vegas.
Oh, you got to go. It's super fun.
It's less fun now that they put the whole dome over it.
That is true.
Fremont Street experience and all that.
Yeah, it kind of feels more like New Vegas.
But it is fun just to walk through the inside of the casinos, which haven't been updated at all.
I would like to do that. I'd also like to go back in time to 1921, the July 4th ball. Where? The Overlook Hotel. right. The July 4th ball at the Overlook Hotel.
You're getting really particular, and I appreciate that. I'm fearful, though. Okay. So far, so good. If I can go anywhere, anywhere, right, it would probably be either Scorsese's 70s New York.
Okay. For vacation, though?
Yeah.
Or because there's places you'd like to visit, and there's like I thought about like a Great Gatsby party, but like it's not a vacation. That's like a fun evening.
Let's not get too technical, unless we're gonna do another list where it's like just a 10-minute stay.
Top five minute outs.
No, I'm thinking like experience, like 3-4. I would like to go 70s New York. Like any Scorsese is easy to say because Mean Streets went up, but any of that shit from the set. Oh, I love it. I'll have a few pops and I'll just watch Taxi Driver, right? Just to experience. The 70s so filthy and gross, and I love it.
That's not a vacation.
I would find vacational retribution.
You go to Jody Foster's 14 years old.
Gangs of New York. Like I would love to go to the. I would love to go to the Five Points, but that's just time travel because those are real places that actually existed.
Okay.
So I hope that none of those are like that kind of things.
No, these are all legitimate vacation.
But no, you're missing the point. I hope they're all like fictionalized at least. Like they never like the Overlook Hotel works because the exterior is a real place.
Right.
And the interior is based on a real place, the Stanley in Colorado. The exterior is a real place.
Yes.
The interior were sets.
So. You'll be happy with my list in that case.
But the Overlook Hotel is not a place you can check into tomorrow.
So we're talking about The Shining, and this is the iconic pull-in shot at the very end of the film where we see the black and white photo of the July 4th ball at the Overlook Hotel. And everyone there, so is it actual? You may know this. You love Kubrick. You love all the trivia about the movies. The actual photo used in the film is a genuine 1920s photo. Like Kubrick wanted to replicate the photo with extras, but then he was like, I can't do any better than this. Like, this is exactly what I'm looking for. So we actually had Jack Nicholson's head spliced in, and it actually was described in the Complete Airbrush and Photo Retouching Manual in 1985, identifies the retouching artist responsible for the work, Joan Honor Smith.
That was a big deal back then.
Yeah, splicing in the photograph, it was pretty seamless.
Now you could probably almost do that.
With my limited skills, I probably could. But back then, it was a big deal, making it look convincing, and it did look convincing, and people were like, how did Jack Nicholson get there? But the actual party itself looks fantastic. It's a full-on 1920s flapper party with people in tuxedos. And this is a 4th of July party.
It feels like a Brian-type party.
It feels like a New Year's party, but yeah, it's a 4th of July party. People are in their tuxes, and they're at the Overlook Hotel, so you can imagine how glorious it is. They're at the Overlook Hotel. They got the cocktails and they got the tuxedos and the evening gowns. And it's just incredible revelry.
Seems very smart.
Incredible revelry. Mm-hmm. Plus, you also get a glimpse into it too. Remember when he is hallucinating and seeing the parties and stuff? Like, that's kind of what's going on.
Right.
Going back in time to visit.
I would be very uncomfortable at that party. I would not enjoy
myself. No, that's not true. You get drunk pretty fast. I'd be all of a sudden, I'm at the Overlook Hotel.
Room 237.
That's right. You would.
Number 5 for me.
Okay.
This is a fictional place, Brian. Okay. Also, time is important here. The year is important. The name itself is an oxymoron and kind of a joke to the fact that it does not exist. Hill Valley, California.
Oh.
Back to the Future. 1985 is Back to the Future, right? Robert Zemeckis directed, of course. Now, am I talking about 1885 Hill Valley? 1955? 1985? Or 2015? No, I'm talking about 1955.
I figured you would.
I want to go back to the original.
It's very idyllic.
And it's idyllic. Mr. Sandman. It's what everyone's kind of growing to like imagine the 50s to be. Zemeckis really nailed it with making everything idyllic other than the oppression of the colored man.
Yeah. But even that was done with a smile.
Right. The courthouse square.
Because Goldie ends up becoming the mayor.
Yes, he does become the mayor, so it's okay. That guy. Remember that documentary about Universal, about Back to the Future? And like he shows up at every little...
Yeah.
The guy that played the mayor shows up at every little event. Like we want to dedicate a miniature golf...
A clock tower.
A miniature golf course about Back to the Future in my backyard. He'll be there.
Yeah, Goldie got there.
He actually showed up to somebody who did that.
That's right.
It was like a personal
one. They had 300 bucks.
I was fortunate enough to... work on the Universal lot there for a little while, and I could take like smoke breaks. I was good timing with my cough, and I go like and I just hang out and watch the Jaws, drive by. That's with right. The tram. I could just sit there and watch Jaws while having a cigarette and watching people just enjoy the Jaws experience. I could also take a little further walk northward, Brian, and walk through Courthouse Square right over there, where it all took place, that whole city. Now it burned down a couple times. It actually Universal Studios, the main location was once called the Mockingbird Square. Brian, after the 1962, of course, film, which was shot there, and then it became Courthouse Square, which is where Back to the Future, the main town square where all the action took place.
Yeah.
They were going to do it in an actual town in California, and then they realized probably way more expensive than actually just building a set. But I would love to go to that actual little ideal
Hill Valley.
Hill Valley.
Mill Valley's in the Bay Area.
Hill is like up. Yeah, yeah. But it's supposed to take place up in Northern California, and I would love to like run into Michael Jay, maybe Marty McFly or his dad. Or a Biff, even. I would love to. I'd love to have a soda pop and get a drink from Soda Jerk. Mm. Oh, I would just love to go back to the 50s, but especially the idealized 50s. Yeah. Yes. Not Todd Haynes' 50s from Far From Heaven.
See, we're kind of on the same page. This is fantastic. My next one's in the 50s also. Number four for me. Very different, though. The fictional town, although it's based on a real place, Mongibello, Italy. Mongibello, in 1955, circa 1955, it's the mid-50s, in a movie that doesn't get talked about very much, despite being a good movie, everyone can agree it's good, but rarely gets brought up. Have we ever talked about The Talented Mr. Ripley? We all agree it's good, but it's...
Didn't we just talk about that in The Fantastic Mr. Fox a couple weeks ago? Or was that me and Greg? I think that was Greg and I.
I don't think it was us.
I think it was Greg and I.
Mr. Fox does come up with us from time to time. The Talented Mr. Ripley depicts Mongibello.
Not a fun movie.
Huh?
Not a fun movie.
No, not fun at all. Should have been a lot of fun. But the fun, if there is any fun to be gleaned from this film, it is the parts. Huh?
The water is beautiful.
The water, a lot is beautiful in this film. And Mongibello is set on the Amalfi Coast. It's inspired by Positano, which is glorious, beautiful, beautiful city. And in Mongibello, you can wake up in a beautiful Italian villa, mm-hmm. and you can spend your day sailing to Capri, the island of Capri. And at night, you drink vino and you dance to at a local jazz club. Right, everyone there is obsessed with jazz. Mm-hmm. 1955. It could not be more, until crazy things start happening, could not be a more picturesque, beautiful setting.
So far,
the whole idea is that Tom Ripley gets sent there by Jude Law's dad. He's like, my son is off gallivanting in Italy. Can you please go back and get him? Like, he's like, I'm not leaving. This place is fantastic.
So far, two very, very bougie choices.
Yeah, they're vacations.
Are you going to end up in Elysium? Are you going to end up in Elysium at the end?
Oh, you should wait for number one.
You will love
wait for number
you
one.
You would love Elysium.
I would.
Look at you.
But Elysium is more a place to live.
Number four for me. I'm not going to go on and on about it. I'd be an idiot not to have it on because I feel so strongly about it, Brian. I would love to see dinosaurs. I would love to see them.
See,
I want to go to Jurassic Park. Fuck yourself. I will go.
Now, horrible things happen at Jurassic Park.
Yeah, horrible things happen everywhere, Brian.
No, but only horrible things happen at Jurassic Park.
Yeah, in the movie version. Not my version.
This is okay. You have a different version.
Well, I get to go to the actual setting. I don't have to go by the script.
But wait, I thought we were picking like places out of movies.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, Jurassic Park in the movie. But there's some great scenes in there.
It's the island of Kauai.
Well, what I'm saying is I want to go to a place where there actually are dinosaurs, and I want to go to the scenes with all the right. numbers that don't involve Breach.
I've seen the film.
Don't involve Breaches.
I've seen the films, and it doesn't end well for you.
Well, no, Brian, you're not hearing me.
Don't bring Atticus.
You're not hearing me. I want to go to the scenes without the Breaches.
Okay.
I want to see like the brontosaurus.
You want to go see the brontosaurus? Yeah, picking out the leaves off the top. Yeah. You want to dig through the triceratops.
How do they ever think that the pterodactyls weren't going to be a problem? Like in
that
the
was
fifth
a,
one.
That was a pretty pretty egregious oversight.
I would love to go to Jurassic Park. I imagine it's on the listener list. It's the one super obvious one that I have on there, but I would absolutely love to. Who would not love to go see dinosaurs?
Really, even the last one, the Jurassic World, would be pretty fantastic to visit. Like things got a little haywire, but in terms of actual, like that's a working theme park. That's
maybe like a week before it happens.
Yeah, like or any time before it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
See, a week, a month, a year.
Well, it'll be the most developed a week before.
That's
it happens.
A really good point, actually. Yeah,
all right. The rides will be open.
The whole point here, though, is like we're just picking like scenes. So we're picking like actual. Well, backdrops. We're not picking like scripts. You know what I mean? I don't want to go experience the movie. I want to experience the place where the movie takes place.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's your criteria. That's fine.
I mean, okay, according to what?
No, but that's...
Let's go off yours, all right? You're going to have some like naked hag, like a witch woman, like and little twins and buckets of blood all over your party.
But I'm not 1921.
Oh, look at how clever he thinks he is. You should see the smug look on his face right now. You should see it.
I'm mid-sniff. You know, that's fine. I can. You know what? Seeing dinosaurs would be fucking mind-blowing and amazing. So, yes, I can see how that would be very high on the list. I wouldn't want to go
because they
literally kill everyone.
Go ahead.
Literally.
You're such a puss.
Yeah, I know.
You really are a
puss. I know.
Yeah, if you were given a chance right now to go see dinosaurs, you'd probably say no. You'd be like, YOLO.
That'd be my excuse for not going. YOLO.
Go ahead, Brad.
You know, there was a James Bond film called You Only Live Twice.
Christ. You Only Live Christ.
Number three. Not that James Bond film. A different James Bond film.
Mm.
It's all, I want to go back to Las Vegas, 1971, as depicted in Diamonds Are Forever. There is a fictional casino in Las Vegas, 1971, called the White House, spelled W-H-Y-T, because I've named
all
after
white people.
Willard White. Is it Willard White? Yes, Willard White, the fictional casino owner. So James Bond actually visited a casino, Anderson, in eight James Bond films, including his very first film, which I had you watch, Dr. No. He commonly plays Baccarat.
More bougie shit.
But he'll branch out to poker, and in this case, at the White House, he plays craps. The only time James Bond plays craps on film, the only time he ever rolls dice.
Why is that important?
It's not amongst the best 007 films, but this one captures the Vegas that I would love to go back and visit in a dream scenario. Like, Sinatra's playing there every night. Like, Elvis is still there, but he's in his prime. He's not quite fat Elvis yet. It's 71. Like, he's still doing the comeback special thing. Mm-hmm. He's still holding it together. Like, it's run by the mob, but like, you can still get, like, you know, things. Like, you can still get comp things if you spend enough money. Like, it's that Vegas before fucking pyramids. Yeah, pyramids and pirates and stuff like that. Like, this is old school Vegas. James Bond shows up in a white tuxedo. This is the Vegas everyone thinks of.
I'll agree with you. I would love to go back to
like
gritty,
like
that's probably right behind 70s New York for me.
In the movie Casino, this is essentially that.
Sure, if I were to spend 2-3 days in either location, I would enjoy that idealized 50s Vegas more than 70s grimy, smelly, graffiti laden New York. Mm. However, I would love to go to both. Yeah, I'll give it to you. Just keeps James Bond in the background, please, with his.
Well, he's
bougie.
I imagine they have more than one craps table, so you can avoid the British guy, well, Scottish guy in the white tux. Although
the best Bond thing.
If you're next to him, you're next to Plenty O'Toole. That's the Bond girl in this movie.
Oh, Brian. Plenty O'Toole. Number three for me.
Her name is Plenty.
Okay.
Plenty O'Toole.
It's just one more reason not to be a Bond fan.
This is not the finest Bond film.
Number three for me.
Shelf will roll the dice for you.
I would like to go to the city.
San Francisco?
In City of Lost Children.
What?
Lesbians. Yes, the City of Lost Children.
Wait. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Children of Men. Wait, what's City of Lost Children?
It's a film directed, co-directed by Marc Caro and Jean-Pierre Jeunet.
Have I seen this?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. It's a very good film, Brian. 1995. This is before Amelie. Ron Perlman stars. Great story. A really, really inventive story. Involving circus fleas and this creature that was this man that was created by a scientist who had long lost had been dead, and he can't dream, so he ages prematurely. Okay. So he clones these children and he steals their dreams. Oh, it's so inventive and creative, and it's such a to say that I want to go to the city of Lost Children is just to say that I want to go live in one of the worlds that is the what we've come to expect a Jean-Pierre Jeunet world to look like. Amelie is a great example. Yeah. Delicatessen is another one. He has such an eye, such a knack. It's so sad this guy's really not making movies anymore. He made a short.
95, you said?
Yeah, 1995, yes. Okay. It's a spectacle, Brian. It's a spectacle. It's a beautiful spectacle. And
is this set in 95 or is this in the past? I missed that part.
It's timeless, Brian. Okay. I imagine Terry Gilliam is probably the closest to
it. It's almost an alternate universe.
Yeah, it is an alternate universe, and it's just like his look, his style is so fantastic and beautiful and detailed. And, oh, I love this movie, and I love this place, and I would like to go spend some time on the actual set. Would be fantastic for me, and to spend an entire week just perusing these mysterious, beautiful seas and tunnels and detail. I would love it. I would love it.
Just 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. It surprises me.
Oh, would you stop with the rotten fucks?
I'm
dumb over the rock.
Figure a French film that's kind of fantastical and whimsical.
How many ratings? Get off Rotten Tomatoes, by the way. What are you doing?
Wikipedia. 54 reviews, apparently.
Oh, that's not enough.
Not very many.
It's City of Lost Children. You ought to see it immediately.
I might track it down.
I don't think you will. I know you.
If I'm assigned it.
And you won't.
Logan's got to sign a film this week. Unless we all, what if we nailed it?
You
what
saw like, you've seen his work. You've seen Amelie.
I've seen Amelie. You've actually seen
the Long Engagement. Not the Long Engagement. That wasn't very good.
I did not see Delicatessen.
You see, like, Alien 5 or whatever it was with the swimming aliens. That's him.
No, is that Alan? Really? No.
You didn't see that?
No.
You don't know his work?
Mark Caro?
No. Jean. Junot Pinot.
Jean-Pierre Junot?
No, not Junot. No.
Alien Resurrection.
Jean-Pierre Junot. Jean-Pierre. Yeah, I don't know why this guy's not making movies anymore. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
It's kind of upsetting.
He directed one film since 2009, and that was in 2013.
A very long engagement, which I dragged the wife to when she was just a girlfriend. And I'm like, trust me, this is going to be a fantastic film. This guy's got such a visual eye and a style. And it was just kind of boring.
It's also a big order to put the words, title your movie something, a very long something. Put very long in the title.
And it turns out that it's 2 hours and 15 minutes. So we're talking about a very long engagement. The closest thing that I can think of that this is like is like Pan's Labyrinth. It's like a less in your face version of Pan's Labyrinth with a little bit of like reality meets dream world, and there's a little girl kind of wandering through it. Actually, now that I'm talking about it, it feels a lot like a precursor to Pan's Labyrinth. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Guillermo del Toro was actually immediately inspired by City of Lost Children. I can see that.
Pan's Labyrinth was how long after? 10 years after?
Yeah. This came to me just last night, Brian. I was trying to go to sleep, and a lot of the movies that I come up with when I'm when I do these lists come to me as I'm drifting off to sleep, and I'm trying to think of. That's how I put myself to sleep. I don't count sheep, Brian. I think of films in the annals. My number one did not come up in any research, and it's by far my number one, and it came up to me as I was trying to fall asleep like 4 nights ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
Redo your best thinking.
Oh, God, I can't wait if it's a real thing and I can go there actually one day. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Was that number three?
That was my number three. It's time to break, right?
Coming up next, we'll reveal our top two vacation destinations from films or scenes, in Anderson's case. Next. From a cliff above the sea, chasing these memories
I can't free. Monarchs dancing in the breeze. Once upon a time,
Anderson.
A box came with a perfect bet. That's their ad. I hear it all the time.
Happily ever after.
I Casper's like, I'm a fan of Casper. Like when I hear their ads or I see their print ads and stuff, I'm like, guys so much.
Yeah, they are.
I have loyalty to their brand. It's weird.
Isn't it funny when you see like an ad for Casper like pop up on TV? You're like, hey, those are our guys.
I just finished saying that.
Yeah, but I'm saying you feel like a little sense of camaraderie.
Not even like our guys. I'm thinking like, oh, I get it. I have that bet. I'm about to go into it right now, and I appreciate that you're letting other people know about it.
Be honest. How much did you miss your Casper mattress when you were on the cruise?
I told you. Plenty. Plenty.
Plenty.
Yes. And you know what? I know a lot of you are probably looking for beds because, you know, every 6-7 years you need one, probably even earlier than that. Mm. If you're looking for a bed right now, this is Brian and I, we both love our beds and it's commitment free. Like they literally drop it off at your house. If you don't like it, they take it back. No questions asked. You're out of pocket. Yeah. Nothing. 100 days in your house.
That's right.
So just give it a shot.
Change your mind on day 99. They'll come get it. Do this. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/filmvault. Spelled out Film Vault and using code Film Vault, also spelled out, at checkout. Once again, get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/Film Vault and using the code Film Vault checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Yeah, welcome back. Time for our top two vacation destinations.
Three for me, buddy.
I thought we did three.
Yeah, but my number two has got a tie.
Okay.
Very similar, Brian.
Okay.
Couldn't leave one off the list. Actually, could be three if I included something very recent, which is in theaters now.
Okay.
Which I won't do.
I'm intrigued.
Are you?
I am. I want to find out what this is. You want to do it now?
No.
Okay, number two for me. The closest it comes to a real place on my list, but still you can't go there because we're going to go back to circa 1973. Remember the Judgment at Paris as portrayed in the movie Bottle Shock? Underrated little movie, Bottle Shock.
I love Bottle Shock.
Bottle Shock was great.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Napa Valley in 1973.
I
want to visit Chateau Montelena.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, you can still go to Chateau Montelena today. And I got married in Napa. I love Napa. It's very special.
Are you sad that it's on fire?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, we heartbreaking.
Do you have like nightmares of shriveling like grapes and whatnot?
It's hilarious too. There's people's crops and livelihoods that are burning. I'm sure it's hilarious.
Sad for you?
It's extremely sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. We donated several funds up there to get people back on their feet. Okay. I'm not joking. Like it's very important to us. But that said,
however,
you can
it
go.
It is a very bougie white.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
The thing about
did you think about helping like the people after the L.A. riots back?
I didn't live in L.A. back then.
Yeah, no,
I was in.
Would you though?
I moved here in 96.
You think you'd like help out some Koreans getting their liquor store back?
Oh, because
you know what I'm saying?
No, never.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
Is it weird that you're so like so Republican? Is that weird to you?
Is it consider helping out people in Napa Valley Republican?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Northern California, the North Bay, that part of the Bay Area, very liberal.
Yeah, I know. I know, but your tendency is to like help wine growers
I know what you
and
mean.
Not beer sellers.
Your friend Brian Border was white, right? I mean, that's why.
Oh, he's from that area, too.
Okay. Well, thank you.
That's about helping.
Can I send him some more money?
I mean, not
for a donation, just to send him money. So Napa Valley today is a great place. It's a beautiful place. It's wonderful. You've been in the Napa
He's parched,
Valley, right?
Actually. He hasn't had a good glass of local wine
that's
in a while.
Right.
You might want to send him a few bucks.
You've been in Napa Valley, yes?
I've driven through it, never stopped in it, because
okay.
I don't do the wine tasting. I don't do the cheese eating.
Okay.
I remember going to an Oakland Raider game in Oakland and thinking, wow, this is scary.
It's very different.
And in L.A., and thinking, wow, these are the real deal, like thugs and
that's a really uppity term.
You cannot say that's
you
a
said thug.
Term. They were thugs, man. Did I ever tell you about the
Can
time
we keep
that
in? We're keeping them in?
Dude, absolute thugs. I know. When the Steeler fan.
The Raiders fans.
When the Steeler fan was like beaten, and I almost had to go to court to actually, because I was in the 20th row, and I watched. It was a white guy that beat him up, he was a total fucking thug. I'll never forget this one guy. Afterwards, we were driving away, and he was wearing like a jacket. It was like sideways, so everyone could see it as he was walking down the street. Like he wasn't wearing it; he was kind of doing that side thing, so he could see the back of the jacket. And it just said, "Just win, baby." That's what it said. And the Raiders had won. And then I remember I went to I think it was the same year. I went up to a Candlestick Park, and I saw
how the other half lived.
I saw 49ers playing the Steelers, and I remember I saw these douche fucks. Oh, I hate
drinking
so much.
White wine at tailgate.
Yeah, yeah. They had a little blanket out and they had some cheese and grapes and wine. And I thought, oh my God.
That sounds about right.
I don't like the divide, Brian. I hate the divide so much.
You know where you see that too? Is that I tailgated at Stanford for a USC game, but at Stanford, and there was a lot of wine and cheese drinking and eating going on.
Ugh.
A lot of wine and cheese.
Do not like.
So,
Napa
Valley
I'd much rather have a 40 in the parking lot with a burnt hot dog than.
The Steelers are DeFranco Harris.
Now, behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I'll enjoy a little brie and brie and grape together.
Reverse demeanor.
A little wine. Sure. Yeah, I'll take that. But no, let's not do that in public.
Yeah.
All
especially
right?
A football game, for God's
sake. Yeah, you fuck.
So Napa Valley is beautiful and gorgeous, and everything's cracked up to be world-class wine. But if there is a criticism, it's that it's gotten so popular over the ensuing, a few decades.
Sideways.
So backing up a second, the sideways is Los Olivos, different part of this country.
Our twos can't be more different.
Huh? What?
Our number twos can't be more different, which delights
our
me.
Number twos?
You're on your number two right now.
Oh,
I'm going to do my number
okay.
two in a second. What's wrong with
our
you?
Choices for number two. Sorry. We're about to talk about wine. So the Bottle Shock, the movie, a good underrated movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it, depicts the events leading up to the Judgment of Paris. The Judgment of Paris was a landmark event put on by a wine merchant in Europe where he wanted the American wines and the Parisian wines to compete in a blind taste test.
Are you going to give it away, though, like what happens here?
It changed the course of wine history,
right.
And it made Napa Valley extremely popular.
You ever have one of those bottles?
Chateau Montelena?
Yeah.
No, I've not.
They're expensive.
I know
as
I have.
Shit.
Yeah, they're expensive, and I've also had.
I don't think they used to be. They used to be like small time, especially while this movie was being made.
That's why I want to go back to this era because
Alan Rickman, and Chris
Pullman.
Pine. I'd never seen Chris Pine before.
That's right.
This is the first time I'd ever seen Chris Pine.
Chris
he was
Pine.
The weak link in the movie. He was by far the worst part of the movie,
fine.
And he was like wearing some kind of weird wig.
He
was fine. It was odd.
So.
Great movie, though.
Great
really
movie.
Enjoyed this movie.
The problem with Napa Valley today, it's gotten so popular.
Bottle Shock.
It's kind of like the Las Vegas of the wine area, of the wine world, because you get these
oversaturated.
Huge... You got the Coppolas of the world and the Visatuis of the world.
I don't
and
know
the,
what you're saying,
the
La Cremes.
The huge wineries that are just... They're just wine-tasting factories.
Right.
Like, they don't take... It's not craftsmanship. And
the Yellowtails, yes.
It's everything that made Chateau Montelena. Yellowtails is Australian.
I'm naming all of the wines that I know just from walking
okay,
to the market.
Sorry. A turning leaf.
Gnarly head.
Gnarly head.
That's a
it
wine.
Is, it is. It,
the fat bastard.
It's actually decent wine.
Fat bastard.
So,
am I saying it right? Is
I
that how you say it?
Fat, I have no,
you don't know fat bastard?
I don't know fat bastard.
What the fuck's wrong with you?
I don't know everything. I know a lot of things.
Fat bastard. It's got a little hippo on it.
I didn't know that. pretty good. Red Fit Bastard pretty one. Good. But this is before all that. This is back when you could, if you wanted to visit Chateau Montelena, you'd go up and you'd meet the winemaker himself because he's the only one there. They don't have a tasting room and he wouldn't charge you anything. He's like, eh, sure, try some wine with all me. Right. Okay. And it would be the most authentic wine tasting experience.
Can you go over your 5 through 2 again? Just because I want to hear the bouginess of it all, Brian. Now, you've never been bougier than this episode.
I'll do it leading off my number one.
Well, that's usually where we do it, but I want to revel in the bouginess right now.
The July 4th ball at the Overlook Hotel. Tuxedos and
yes. Yeah. Pearls.
Mongibello, Italy, in the talents of Mr. Ripley.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Mongibello.
Why is that?
Why? Because you can spend your days...
dancing to jazz.
Sailing off to Capri, and you can spend your nights dancing to jazz.
Oh, my God.
Number two, the White House in Diamonds Are Forever, Las Vegas.
That's your only acceptable one to me. Like if you were my
what about Napa Valley, 1973?
No, horrible, awful.
You don't want to visit...
I enjoy that movie. I would like to be on the set for that movie and maybe, you know, wander around with those guys if it was that movie, but you just want to be, like, in the setting.
I want to visit the guys from the. I want to hang out and do wine tasting.
They wouldn't want to hang out with you.
They probably
Brian.
Wouldn't. Actually.
They wouldn't want to hang out with you.
No, I'm undefined. I'm a Philistine.
You are
a unable to enjoy nice things.
Number two for me, it's a.
So pretty much the same as what I said, right?
Dead heat for me. Two A's: Manhattan Island, New York, 1997. Escape from New York.
It's a vacation destination.
Oh, fuck, I would love to go there. God, that would
You're
be
really
awesome.
Missing the point of this episode.
No, I'm not. I would love to go escape.
God, that's a dystopia.
It absolutely is. And it would be so... the stories I would get, Brian, and the enjoyment that I would have, the adventure.
Okay.
I want to run into Hawk or Cabby and maybe see the president running for his life. And of course, I'll be looking for my buddy Snake Plissken. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd hook up with Snake Plissken and we'd have probably a cigarette together or something. Oh, it'd be so great. B for me, Brian. Detroit from RoboCop.
This is not
Paul Verhoeven.
Logan, be a favor. Look up the definition of vacation.
Vacation. I'd be looking for Omni Consumer Products headquarters.
Omni Consumer Products.
I'd be the soon to be Delta City, which must be a utopia that they're creating, Brian.
That's right.
I wandered a lot. That scraped lots where the tract. That they were good at where they're going to put that. Of course, they'd be looking for Officer Alex J. Murphy and his partner, Officer Ann Lewis. Of course, they'd be looking for them, right?
You don't have to look very hard.
But
he's a walking machine.
Who I'd really want to see. Who I would pay my money. I would pay top dollar, Brian, if one of the destinations, if one of the excursions would include a little Ed 209. Oh, fuck. It'd be the greatest vacation of my life. And maybe I get lucky and he takes some stairs. Which doesn't go well,
doesn't
and he screams. Red. And if I could see that in person with my own naked eyes, that would be, oh my God.
So, okay, while it doesn't
do you want? Did you? I've been in New York one time.
Just
you know
once?
What, you know, would you stop it with your bouginess? Would you stop it?
Just once?
Oh, you've only been there once, huh?
Since my book tour, I've been there a number of times.
I've been in New York once. Do you know what I did there?
What'd you do? Oh, I remember this.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. You went to the Five Points.
I went to the Five Points.
And you didn't know where it was, and
didn't
you
know
was
where
a
it
cop.
Was. I walked 70 blocks. Yeah, I had blisters all over my feet for the rest of the trip. I also made it a point to go to all five boroughs, and I also went out one night, smoked crack in the gay porn district, because I wanted the full New York experience.
You wanted
right?
to really experience.
And you know what I remember most about the entire trip to New York?
What's that?
Smoking crack.
I was going to say.
In the gay porn pretty
vivid,
house.
Pretty vivid memory.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, I got yelled at by the crack addict who I was smoking crack with.
You're not doing it right.
No, he told me that I shouldn't be talking about how his daughter is at home alone. And he's like, well, I'm just trying to enjoy my crack, man. I went and bought more crack, and I got yelled at by the crack dealer because I was being obvious because I was on crack and I was feeling really good about everything. I remember the crack experience. I remember the crack experience as much as I remember anything else in New York. I want to see like all the facets, all the different sides.
I was going to say, while it doesn't fit a traditional definition of a vacation,
no,
you can
wherever you want.
You know what? For you,
if you were my travel agent, I would kick you in the nuts. I'm like, I don't want to go to Napa
Valley.
You don't
know me at all. You don't know me at all. For you, vacations are all about experiences and having stories to tell and life memories.
And
so,
and stories to remember, not just to tell. I love telling stories, but also just to have in my head.
There you go. Life,
you know what I mean?
life experiences.
Yeah, yeah,
so
exactly.
You know what? By that standard, I can see this being a destination vacation.
Okay, thank you for seeing. Thank you for seeing.
Dystopias.
If I could see Ed 209 in Detroit.
Literal dystopias.
It'd be so great. That's my number two. Go ahead. What's your number one? I'm concerned with your number one.
All right. My first one was in 1921. Number four was in 1955. Number three is in 1971.
Right.
Number two, 1973. Mm-hmm. My number one, My number one vacation destination.
And why are you swallowing? Are you nervous?
No, because I actually have a cold. 2084. I want to go to Recall.
Oh, no, Brad.
Recall. I want to take Recall's ego trip. Now, you think that's my previous four were bougie?
Wait a minute. I'm confused.
Do you remember Recall's ego trip?
You're talking about Total Recall, right?
Talking about Total Recall. Yes. 1990.
Right. I remember like bad things happening in his trip to Mars
because they uncovered that's the central mystery of the film is like, is he dreaming it all, is he imagining it, or is it all his real life or his fake life? So Arnold Schwarzenegger goes is in the future. He's a construction worker. He works at Jackhammer. Mm-hmm. And he goes to a place called Recall, R-E-K-A-L-L, Recall. And Recall specializes in implanting memories. Like, hey, don't bother going on a vacation. It's not going to live up to your expectations. Yes. It's going to cost way too much money. For just 300 credits, you can go on a imagined vacation, which is going to seem, you're going to implant the memory.
Right.
It's going to be as though you were there. In fact, the memory is going to be perfect.
Right.
And he's like, that sounds pretty cool. And they're like, hey, we have an upsell. Mm-hmm. It's called the ego trip. He's like, no, I'm not really interested in that. He's like, hold on. Let me tell you all about it. You get to choose your adventure. You get to be whoever you want to be. You don't have to. Why go on vacation? It's yourself. Uh-huh. Where you can go and they pull up remember the screen has like options, and the options are A15 through A17 or whatever it is, which implies that there are at least 17 different options, but you only see four. And it's the options are millionaire playboy, sports hero, industrial tycoon, and he chooses secret agent.
They don't have smoke cracker.
That might have been one of the other choices we didn't see on the screen. The screen only displayed four choices. Implying that there are endless possibilities. If they can do those four, why can't... I mean, you can be a rock star, you can be a porn star, president of the United States. You can have literally any vacation you
Terrible.
Want. Terrible. Any vacation you want. Mm-hmm. Recall's ego trip.
This is like what small-minded people do when they go to Vegas. Is
small-minded?
They try,
oh, yeah. Literally, the world, there's no limit. No. You can go to Mars.
It's all fake bullshit, though. Like, they go to Vegas, and they're like, all right, we're going to be authors. We're going to tell everyone that we're best-selling authors, and your name's Ralph, my name's Mike. You know what I mean? Like, those kinds of people.
For me, I wouldn't have to pretend.
Your name's not Mike.
That's true. What if I wanted a best-selling author named Mike? The only part of my identity
ahead.
I changed.
Go ahead. Just please continue.
That's it. Can you imagine?
I you know what?
I'd probably choose of the
what would you choose, Brad? You only get to hear four, and the four were what?
Millionaire playboy.
Yes.
Sports hero.
Mm-hmm.
Industrial tycoon.
Sports hero is just so.
Industrial tycoon is kind of the same as millionaire playboy. I'll assume industrial tycoon.
You
I think
can be
older.
One.
I think of older.
Perhaps.
And a secret agent. I would not choose secret agent.
Those
I don't
are all
want to go on
so
adventure.
Flimsy.
I don't
want to
go
all,
on an adventure.
Those are all so unimaginative and so like fill in the blank. Those are also written by an old screenwriter.
They're
you know
a bit
I mean?
Generic. Well, it's based on a book from like the 60s.
Makes sense. Sports hero.
Sports hero.
What did you like? What do you like to be when you grow up, Johnny? A sports hero? Want to play ball? Do you?
I probably wouldn't choose a sports hero. I'd probably choose millionaire playboy.
I think I got you beat.
Up front, let's hear it.
Pretty good. But in reality, you just admitted that your vacation would be fake and nothing but a memory.
Well, not is it actual. Fake to you if you have the memory implanted and you're convinced it happened?
Let me see a picture.
What if
show
what
me
if,
pictures?
What if I told you that your vacation, your trip, your crack smoking trip was all fake and I implanted the memory? Do you remember it, so you're convinced it happened.
I show you the pictures of me receiving the crack pipe through the.
I had to
go into
remember,
one a little booth.
Remember, he talked about Photoshop.
He went into the booth right next to me, and they had like a little slot, like in between the glass.
Were you in a crack house? Like
no, it was a gay porn house. And then he handed the crack through the little slot, and then I remember like smoking the crack, going, "Oh, this is awesome." And then I remember thinking, "What's the slot for?" Oh no. Why the slot?
Just send something back?
How many dicks have been in the slot? This is terrible. But this crack is kicking in and it feels pretty nice. I gotta tell you.
Was it full on like tinfoil and the...
No, it was a little... He had a little vial. Okay. Now, the greatest feeling I've ever had in my life...
Yes?
Was the crack.
Number two, birth of your child.
I was staying at the Plaza Hotel, right? The Plaza.
That's a nice place.
Place you'd probably like to vacation.
I've been there before.
What?
I've stayed there before.
Like you could barely, you were so excited to report that you could barely speak. Yeah, so we're staying at the Plaza, like on the fourth or fifth level, right? I was walking back, sun coming up, realizing that I had been up all night and I'm crashing on the crack, feeling like so disgusted with myself.
A crack come down.
I could betray myself. I betrayed all my friends, my family, and I had to go back to my friends, like a very, very nice room at the Plaza. Oh, one of the worst feelings. Walking in the front door through the past the doorman, just like I'm staying here. Here's my key. I know, like everyone, in my head, everyone knew that I was coming off a crack binge. Mm. I only smoked two rocks, but still. Oh, did not feel right about it. Okay, number one for me.
It's a great story.
I would like to go.
Logan, hide your screen.
I would like to go to Judgment City.
No, what?
Do you know what this is, Brian?
Judge Red?
Judgment City. This is the winner, and I didn't find it any of my research.
Is this Judge Red?
No, fuck no.
Oh no, is this this is from the Albert Brooks film?
Defending Your Life.
That's right. I thought about this, but then I'm like, you can't take a vacation to
absolutely take a vacation.
Damn, I thought about this too.
No, don't try and steal the thunder.
Well, it's a great vacation spot. You get to eat all you want.
You can eat all you want at restaurants. Never full. Never full. The best food. Best food. Bowling alleys. Comedy clubs, Brian. Mm-hmm. And even the Past Lives Pavilion. That would be sweet. Instead of movies, you go to the Past Lives Pavilion where you see your past lives and what you did like on screen as like who you were in your past lives. Fun fact about that, too. I'm talking, of course, about Defending Your Life, 1991's Albert Brooks film, Defending Your Life, with Albert Brooks and what's her name? The one that is in everything Meryl that Streep. Wins every award there is. Meryl Streep, yes. I think she's going to win Best Actor next year. I think that's what,
she's branching
that's what she's
out.
Working for, yeah. I love this movie. Fantastic
It's a wonderful
movie.
Film.
It's a wonderful film.
Love it.
And, all of the movie takes place, nine-tenths of it takes place in this like limbo, this purgatory, where you're figuring out if you're going to heaven or not. It's not heaven. It's afterlife.
Once you die, you go to Judgment City, and they evaluate your life.
And
forever long, however long it takes to do it, you stay there.
And you get a lawyer that, you know, argues on your behalf. It's a very clever film. It's a very fun film. A bit of a corny ending, and a hard sell if you're going off the poster. But believe me, this is a really good movie. Yeah. Talking about all-time movies, this is probably top 50 for me.
There's no tipping. There was
absolutely love this movie.
There's no money exchanged.
It's just and I'm a bit of a gluttonous person. Mm-hmm. I like my food. The idea of going to a sushi place and just like not getting full.
That's right.
And I'm not worried about the price as much as I'm worried about getting full. Like I could sit there for 4 hours and try every single fish in the sea.
Brings him nine pies.
Bring me. He was so embarrassed by the pies.
I'll bring you nine pies.
I don't want the pies, please.
No pies.
No pies. God, I would love to live there, just for a week.
It's pretty great.
Judgment City.
I didn't think that was on the table because it was
absolutely
essentially heaven.
Fictitious places you like to visit in film.
All right.
Why do we have two completely separate lists?
We bring different things to the table.
No, you took it like very literally. Like I'd like to go
did not.
And spend
I,
7 days at this location.
Well, that's a vacation.
I took it as like places I'd like to visit that from films that I've seen that are fictitious that I couldn't.
Well, if under that criteria, you'd be silly not to pick Judgment City. That sounds
number one.
It's fantastic.
Huh.
I just think about it. I just qualified it because
I saw like Wizard of Oz. Like if you can have Wizard of Oz on your list, why couldn't you have Judgment City?
I guess so.
Absolutely. Other than the fact that you have to die.
You have to die.
Here's what happens, Brian. I go to Manhattan Island, New York, and John Carpenter's New York, Escape from New York, and I smoke a little crack, OD, die, wake up Judgment City. Wake up Judgment City. Yeah, yeah.
You knock out your number one, number two right there.
Hill Valley 2, before I get the emails, yes, I know that like some book that was written at one point was suggested that Walter Hill or somebody Hill was the founder of the city, so there goes the oxymoron Hill Valley. Okay, before I get a bunch of emails, I read that.
Still very good.
I would love all these places. I would love to go to for different reasons.
Didn't they meet at the Twin Pines Mall? But then when he went back in time, he ran over one of the pines. It was a sapling, and like when he went back, it was like the Lone Pine Mall or something.
You're talking
like
about Back to the Future.
Yeah, yeah. I was overwhelmed.
I think that might have been the dystopian 1985. There was like I think five different time. Lines in Back to the Futures.
I think that
85 was the one that had a duel. It had a separate timeline.
Yeah.
That was
okay. Anyway.
I believe that's the one where everything kind of got fucked up.
No, it was for sure, but I'm saying one of the jokes in the first one was that when he literally went back in for the first time, he was driving through a field. Remember the farmer's
right,
field?
Right.
But he was still in the place where he was. He just went back in time, and he ran over one of the pines, which at that point was a sapling.
I understood the joke, and I don't recall it offhand, but yes, I can see that happening, being in there.
Hey, Logan, how about we listen to a listener top five if you got it? I'd love to hear what the listeners had for their vacation destinations.
Yep. Number five, we have The Castle from Beauty and the Beast.
What?
What a strange choice.
That was a strange one.
That got more
I like
than
it,
though.
I like it. Right. You know what's funny? Gruyere, Switzerland. The one time, brace yourself, Brian.
Here we go.
I've only been to Europe once.
That's a lie.
You okay?
No, I've only
been. You've only been there once?
I've only been to one country.
That. Oh, you're so.
I know. A Philistine.
You're such a Philistine. anyways, we're walking through Gruyere, which is where the cheese comes from. It's one of the most amazing places I've ever been. It's where H.R. Giger has his bar and his tiny, tiny little medieval town, frozen in time from 1200. It's phenomenal. And the wife and I were walking through it, and we actually played the music from Beauty and the Beast because it felt just like it. Wow. And I got to tell you, it's closest you can probably get to going to like Beauty and the Beast like setting.
See my vest. See my vest.
Worth
my
it. Vest. Absolutely worth it. Gruyere, Switzerland. All right.
All right. Number four, we have Mars from Total Recall.
Why would you want to go there when that happens to your eyes? You know?
Well, there's the whole. Well, Mars is also colonized, though.
And it's just like all shitty.
I know,
it's like,
actually it's really shitty.
It's kind of like when Cartman goes to Mars.
The guy who wants to go to Escape from New York, but RoboCop.
It's all like hot, and you're like in that. You're in that.
New York is hot in the summer,
dude. But there's so many. I could run into Snake Plissken, and like you know, right?
They could run on Schwarzenegger.
I was wishing the Warriors was like based like in some kind of fictitious part of New York, and I would have put the Warriors on there for sure. But that's all real New York, you know. But I mean, nothing seems comfortable.
It's true,
you know.
Yeah, it's all.
Not that Manhattan as the biggest penile colony in the world, and John Carpenter's.
It's essentially a slum on Mars, right? Everyone's like there's a sex trade.
I'm just thinking about like being outside. Yeah, when they're inside, on the surface of Mars. Yeah,
I think people just want to see three boobs.
It probably is three boobs. Yeah, it probably is.
All right, speaking of three, Jurassic Park.
Mm. Is that a dinosaur movie?
There's a lot of dead fans.
Number two,
Brian. There's no wine at Jurassic Park. Is there wine served? I might reconsider.
Oh, remember John Hammond spared no expense. So you got to imagine they have good food and wine.
Go ahead.
Spared no expense.
Number two, Floss in Paradise from The Fifth Element.
Was that well?
Flossin? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, neither do I. But that's a good one. But it's too crowded for me, and it seems like I would just miss Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The player able to stretch out.
And the number one vacation destination, as voted on by our listeners, is Wally World from Vacation.
But that's like Magic Mountain, and it's not that great.
That's what I said when someone said that to me today, too. I'm like, that's just Magic Mountain. You can go there right now.
Yeah.
And it's a lot better now.
Okay, but keep in mind that Magic Mountain...
Do you get John Candy?
Yeah, but Wally World is, you know, it's themed to the whole Wally, you know, corporation or whatever it is. Like, is there Disney,
but that's Rocky and Bullwinkle, and they suck.
What, Wally?
Yeah.
No, Wally isn't walking a bullwinkle. Wally's its own thing.
He's based loosely on Rocky and Bullwinkle.
I can see the appeal.
Rocky and Bullwinkle, as far as I'm concerned, killed De Niro's career. Like he's never been the same since.
You are grasping at straws.
Fuck Rocky and his Bullwinkle. I never understood that. I think, you know, Time Before Us, maybe.
It was a very strange choice to like reboot into a movie.
I get the Wally World because of what it represents in the movie.
Yeah.
Great movie. Fantastic movie. Wonder if they have wine.
Especially if you had it all, probably. But if you had it all to yourself, like the Griswolds did. That'd be sweet.
You got some ulcer runs there?
Let's see. I almost made my list. Z Watanejo at the end of Shawshank would have been a nice place to visit.
Did you really get to see much?
Not a lot to do, but it seemed like a very idyllic, picturesque little coaster. Plus, I've actually been to Z Watanejo.
Oh, my God. That was the whole point of that. My God. My God.
Came very. So
Wait, isn't that where they're going in The Last Man on Earth?
Oh, I don't remember.
Are you up to date on last?
They were heading north.
I think they're going to Z Watanejo. That's what they keep saying. Hmm. When are we going to get to Z Watanejo? I'm a couple episodes behind, but Brian, you're such a gross person. That was the whole point of you saying that.
It's
not a fictitious place.
So you can go to a real place.
That's not what this is.
Quiet. I tried so hard, and you know what? I avoided. This is actually so I didn't go down. Had I gone like you, like down the Jurassic Park route, where a place where disaster happens, I would have chosen either the Titanic or the Poseidon Adventure, because those are both awesome cruise ships. Horrible things happen to them, but those are awesome cruise ships.
Better like, cruise ships today that you can actually step on.
Better than the Titanic?
For sure.
Okay, not relative to its era. That was like the height of luxury.
Yeah, but you got to erase everything you know then.
What do you mean?
You gotta go back and be like, this is the greatest cruise ship. Greatest cruise ship I've ever seen, even though it's gonna be shit compared to what they have now.
Might be kind
of
nice.
There's been a lot of advancements.
Disconnect a little bit.
I'm not talking about Wi-Fi. I'm talking about like levels and staterooms and bless you a couple times.
Plumbing. I wonder if back. So this is a serious question. I'm not trying to get scatological, but like, I wonder if like before you know, ocean conservation was a real thing, if they just flushed their sewage into the ocean.
I'm sure.
I probably did, right?
And then it froze. And then it...
Oh, that's right, because they were sailing through the very cold waters.
Any more, Brian?
I might want to go to Golden Pond. Golden Pond. But again,
it's just a lake, Brian, with old people.
They seem very sweet. What about Bob?
Honestly, if I really did have a choice in this, and I think you'd probably be with me, South Park, I would like to go wander those streets. Who won it? Springfield, The Simpsons.
Oh,
would love to go see either one of those places, but they're not inspired. Her, I would love to go see her. That's a fictionalized
the near future
version of L.A., not too far away from now. I don't even know if they named it as L.A., but it was recognizably L.A.
I think it was very clearly Los Angeles.
Zootopia.
They went to the beach.
Zootopia, most recently, a very recent movie. I would love to go hang out. I got my love for animals. Here's a little, to take a left turn, District 9, Brian. Oh, that'd be enjoyable. See some prawns up close. Oh, fuck yeah. That'd be great.
Some cat food.
Yeah. I would love a small amount of time at District 9.
Very short.
In Johannesburg. And finally, this is not TV Vault, I understand that, but ultimately, if I had to go to a place and die,
gambling,
it'd be Willoughby. Next up, Willoughby. Twilight Zone, Willoughby. Oh, it's an idealized... beautiful little utopia, Brian. Oh. Willoughby.
Well, like, you know, I almost chose that.
Push.
Willoughby. Actually, you know what would be? I
don't know if they have wine in Willoughby, though. Sorry.
A very close one that made my almost my list. And now I'm thinking about it. Like your example of like walking around Springfield and just kind of exploring. Mm. Like, I would love to visit the town of Sea Haven from Truman Show just to kind of see, like, poke holes literally, but like, wow, look at this fucking production. This is incredible. Like, that would be a fun place to actually walk around and explore.
Right.
Just because of the massive scale and scope of it all.
You can kind of do
walk
that.
Walk backstage.
Paramount.
Okay.
You can pretty much do that in like any movie set.
Yeah, but this is a 24-hour living set.
Hop off the tram and, yeah.
I see what you're saying. Sail to the edge.
I see what you're saying.
All right.
The earth is flat.
Last week, you gambled on The Foreigner. At the time, the Rotten Tomato score was 80%, but you both bid 74. Mm. For the record, the Rotten Tomato has dropped to 59% for
Jesus,
The Foreigner.
From 80?
Yes.
Wow.
They only had 10 reviews last week, so.
Yeah.
All right. This week, a movie I watched 2 days ago.
We got to assign us a film.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Doing that.
Well, he said this week.
Anderson may or may not have already seen it, but it hasn't been FlickFest on this show. So if you have seen it, you're ahead on your homework. You're going to watch Martin Scorsese's Silence.
Silence.
The one that just came out last year.
Oh, the one where they're missionaries or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds horrible. Oh, Silence. Anderson's probably seen it.
It's fine. He hasn't talked about it, so. He's one up on you.
It's awful. Silence. 161 minutes.
Enjoy.
Jesus
Christ. He's very bad.
It's very bad?
He's very mad. He's punishing. Why am I so stuffed? Ugh. You know what? I bet you I want to be this stuffy. I was in Manhattan. Steak Plissken would get me something to clear me right up.
84%.
Silence. Jesus Christ. Passion of the Priest.
It's a movie you should see anyways. Sure. It's a Scorsese movie.
Passion of the Priest.
Thanks,
Brian.
Logan. All right, what are we gambling on this week?
All right, this week you're going to be gambling on Geostorm.
Oh, Christ. It looks really good.
I love a good disaster movie.
Like a movie that is a disaster or a movie
It doesn't have to be a good movie, actually.
Disasters.
But I love a disaster movie.
It looks really, really good.
Most of the best ones are probably under 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Most of the best ones. All right, hold on a second. Now, this is one of those ones infuriating because it could be 15%. It could be 55%.
Go. That was quite the range you gave it. Oh, what's going on?
Do I even?
Just come on, dude. No one likes this.
Quiet.
Silence.
Silence. Silence. Do I even go that high?
No. Oh my God. No one cares about this, Brian. Just give your pick.
40.
Eight.
Eight?
Fuck. 48.
Oh.
Shit.
I had 43, too. I erased it.
Critics know what this is, though.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's good.
All right, the week before its release, with zero reviews.
Oh, that's
zero
always
reviews.
A good sign. It's always a good
there
sign.
There was no Rotten Tomato score.
Zero reviews.
I'm feeling pretty good about 48.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, though. Zero October is kind of like a
never a good sign.
A dumping ground.
You can tell Geostorm is supposed to be a summer, like a summer blockbuster.
Should we be apologizing that we just completely skipped over Made in America? It has not been mentioned on the show, and I feel like it's too late to even talk about it now because we fest it next week. Made in America.
What is Made in America?
The one you gambled on last week? But
it's a Tom Cruise movie. Doug Liman. Come on.
That's American Made, dude.
American Made. Made in America. What's the same? It's the same thing. That's what I'm saying. We skip over to the point where we don't even know the name. Should we feel bad about that?
No. Do you feel bad about it?
A little bit.
Really?
Yeah. Doug Liman. Doug Liman. We love Tom Cruise. We're always...
Logan, how about you assign us that?
No.
Because I would have to go see it then.
That's true.
Oh, you got it. Oh, you're just doing... Because you just saw Silence.
Yeah.
You're a good Catholic kid, though, right, Logan?
No.
No? You're not Catholic?
Wow. Look at the derision.
You're going to hell?
I was a reluctant Christian growing up and haven't been to church in a long, long time.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, enjoy Silence.
Enjoy hell.
Okay. Let's get out of here. What do we
Thank you to Chad for his listener art this week over at AndersonandBrian.com where you can view that. Take a look at Chad.
Why'd you say it like that?
Listener art. That's pretty good.
What's it say?
Being Bald Brian. Oh, terrible. Ever wanted to be someone else?
I'm confused. I mean, I get the being John Malkovich thing, but why?
Because all three of you want to be me.
I don't understand.
Is that pretty obvious?
I don't understand.
Well, that's fairly obvious. Thanks, Chad. You nailed what we're all thinking. Check out over at AndersonandBrian.com.
Hey, you know what? That wouldn't be a bad place to visit.
My head?
No, being John Malkovich.
Oh. Actually, John Malkovich's head?
Well, like the third and a half floor or whatever it was, the fourth and a half floor.
Oh, yeah.
Such a quirky environment.
I love that movie. That was the one detail that felt a little overridden. Like the half a floor, it's like, all right, I get it. And everyone has to walk around hunched over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I like that movie, though.
I love the set, though. I loved watching the actors actually have to do that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Thank you to our featured artists this week. They are The Lion-Faced Boy, Blue Winter, Take Today, Greater Pacific, a funk band named Machete, and Kickbush. Thanks, fellas, for being our featured artists this week.
It's funny every time. Kickbush. Hey, you know what I watched the other night in bed with the volume completely down, and I actually recommend this.
You watched your wife sleeping gently, and you thought how lucky you were.
No, on my TCL, I should say this, TCL television that I have mounted in because I moved into this new house and put the TCL, rather than in the office, I put it in the bedroom because I know the wife likes to watch TV in the bedroom. TCL looks beautiful. It's a great, great television. Really, really enjoy it. And I was watching a little Hacksaw Ridge.
Why?
Break out of my shell and fuck making this Hollywood typical drippy bullshit. Yeah. Mel Gibson.
Breaking the chains.
It just starts with the violence and oh my God, watching with no volume at all. It was it's really interesting to watch a scene done that well without any kind of audio to help it along. I've been watching a lot of movies with no volume that I've seen before lately in bed.
By nature of the fact that your wife is asleep next to you?
Well, it actually has headphones that I can plug into the remote if I wanted to.
Ooh, top five movies you can watch with no sound.
But that's like all movies with... that'd be weird, though. That'd be a tough one, wouldn't it? That'd be a tough one.
Yeah.
That would just be the sex scenes, I guess.
That'd be all the movies that hipsters put on in bars.
But that's all like silent movies anyway.
Yeah, it's like tongue-in-cheek stuff.
They always put like silent movies on with like...
No,
they'll put like
sound. They'll put like Dilbert cartoons
purple
on
gels over them. The ones I'm thinking of. The
bars do go to.
Metropolis is a popular one.
Yes, it's a silent film.
That's true.
And they put a fucking, like, they'll put like, some kind of gel over it so that it's like not, dude, it's not black and white, it's green and white, dude. Ha ha. All right.
Thanks to everyone who has signed up through our Patreon and clicks through
and
on the Amazon banner on AndersonandBrian.com. We appreciate it very much. Hopefully we communicate that effectively, how much we appreciate it.
Thank you for the Patreon subscribers who are making us do more work, and I'm excited about next week. Should we even reveal what we're going to be doing this month? Should we do it?
I can't because I don't remember. Oh, yeah, I do. Oh, should we tease it?
Should we tease it? What do you think, Logs?
Ties into a movie that was on
next
this list.
Next week's Flick Fessions will be a tease for that.
Exactly.
So
right. It doesn't matter. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're going to be talking about Speely. All right.
That's enough.
A lot of Speely.
You said too much.
Speely!
You said too much.
All right. Let's get out of here. Hey, thanks again to everyone who helped Brian Border be the hero of healing at the camp that I so adore.
Is that what they call it? The hero of healing?
Yes, I believe so.
Nice.
And, hey, I understand the significance.
Oh, this of the throwaway line?
Of let's make a tree and get out of here. We do it for Mango.